is the whole. I give you a name and a reason to live. You're gonna owe me big dog meat. And what's my payback? £1 million of tube steak.
I am incredibly flattered, but I am a flaming heterosexual. What?
Identify for retina scan.
Are you ill, Commander?
I am experiencing a slight loss of equilibrium and some gastrointestinal distress.
Space sickness.
Unlikely. I'm not prone to that condition.
Perhaps you should go to sick bay.
I'll be fine.
And pop culture. It's where you find it.
All right, sweetheart. What are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Corps is like a day on the farm. Every meal a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. Every formation a parade. I love the Corps. God damn it, that's not all. Because if one of these things gets down here, then that will be all. And all of this bullshit that you think is so important, you can just kiss. Oh, that's a pie! Game over, man! Game over!
All right, listen up. My name is Coach Boomer. You may know me as Sonic Boom. You may not. Here's how power placement is going to work. You will step up here and show me your power. And yes, you will do so in front of the entire class. I will then determine where you will be assigned. Hero or sidekick. Now, every year there are a few students, or as I like to call them, whiner babies, who see fit to question and to complain about their placement. So let's get one thing straight. My word is law. My judgment is final. So there will be no whiner babies. Are we clear?
Yeah.
I said, are we clear?
Yes, Coach Boomer!
Go time!
Yes, after a two-week hiatus, we're back! Yes, welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry, the weekly live commentary of film, television, pop culture, brought to you from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Good night. Wait, we got to do the show. Oh, thanks everybody for joining us. We are premiering on Ustream.tv or something like that. .com. Something. Hey, I better learn it before I start the show. I should have written that down. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad we're here. I missed doing it last week. I was deathly ill, and no, it wasn't the swine flu. So many people say that over and over again.
It was the H1N1.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, like something you get like for your Xbox or something. But no, it wasn't anything cool. You know what? Before we get into all that stuff, let's introduce the host of the show, Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
I'm good.
Welcome to the show. Missed
you
last
sir.
Week. It's probably better I didn't have you over because I just would have infected you.
And then just flying would not accept that.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to actually bring the swine flu to my house from the airport.
I'm in so many hospitals. I'm immune to everything.
I know. Honestly, I wouldn't have let Steven in my house. I'm like, thanks, but here's your microphone. You can sit out on the front porch.
Yeah,
Thank you
may be immune, Steven, but that doesn't mean you're not carrying the virus. You're like the little
kids. So your
kids
puny little immune system couldn't handle me being
28 weeks later, you're like the little kids in that cause all the
Steven's
trouble.
Steven's the only one that's going to survive. The swine flu apocalypse.
Harold Perrineau's like, okay, I'll fly in my helicopter. Seems pretty innocent, you know. But next thing you know, Paris is overrun. We also have here Mulberry Bill. Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
You know, I'm hoping that Ustream is our home now. We found a place where our sound quality rocks. That's what I'm hoping.
I think it does. We've been testing it a couple times this week, and it seems to have a nice flow. You know, it's not hiccupy like Now Live. So
yeah, Now Live was a little clunky. You know, it was a little strange and clunky.
And we know what happened to that.
Yeah, last Friday, of course, all last week, my wife is sick. Then by Thursday, I'm ill. And I'm like, should we do a show or not? I think I'll be okay. And then, of course, the next day I feel even worse and I have a fever. So I'm like, oh, I'll just play an old show. I know what I'll do. I'll play the Lunchtime Lost episode live. So I go to connect to Now Live, just hit play and then go lay back down. And it says, we are now charging. If you'd like to know any information, email us here. So Now Live, you can't connect to it anymore. You got to pay for it. So I was like, what is this about? So I emailed.
So they're going under, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
So I emailed them. I said, what is the deal? What is the new setup? You would think if they had any clue as to what they're doing, they would have put on a page, here's our new payment plan of how you run it. But instead, you got to email them.
Even arrange it by, like, how many listeners, bandwidth, like how whenever we were using Shoutcast.
Right.
You know, they would go by bandwidth and listener amount.
So I get this PDF file link in an email about the pay plan, and it's like, exciting features, chat online, live webcast. And it's like, okay, yeah, same thing.
I'm sold.
And it said $200 a month.
I'm not sold.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Rip off.
And I was like, Bill, there's like a million of these sites, or at least a handful that we could go to. And the first place I picked was Ustream. And signed up and messed around with the interface. And I was like, okay, we're sold. We're good on this.
didn't even experiment more
now,
than that.
$200 a month. Good Lord. That's like a friggin' car payment or something.
I know. Are they in? Well, it's so funny. You go to Now Live Now, and there's like nothing there. There's only a couple like radio networks that use Now Live left.
Yeah.
And it's all horrible stuff like that shark show. Where the guy just has a shark puppet.
Yeah, why? How come they want to be in the business of just running a stream of a radio station? And what radio station would be dumb enough to pay a monthly payment when they could go to Ustream or something like that?
And Utah's morning news is gone. What am I going to do?
I know.
I used to love to watch them, you know, around 3 a.m., one guy in a station with one light on.
Steven, you were in Utah this week. I was going to tell you, hey, look for Utah morning news there on the radio.
Yeah, and get in the window, the big window on the street, so you can be like,
oh,
hey,
awesome, because I'd have a webcam.
Where's it at? Is it in Salt Lake, or is it in...
Well, it doesn't really matter now since they're not on there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I never looked. I'm looking right now. Utah's morning news.
It's either Provo, Salt Lake, or Ogden.
Oh, man. It's weird how Now Live, I've got to think, they had some investor, and they're like, okay, dudes, we're pulling the plug. There's no profits in this or whatever. So that's what happened. They're like, we need money fast. Shut all down all the feeds and tell people they need to pay $200 a month. That'll keep us in business. But instead, it's like...
four streams going.
Yeah, but I'm glad we're on Ustream and we're doing the show live again. And, you know, it supports a web feed for free. So eventually, Bill, I upgraded my computer. We got some webcams going. It's like Leo Laporte or something. What do you I think it would be.
Get the little foot pedal to swap cameras around.
That would totally rock, Steven. That's why I picture a little bedroom studio, like in the spare bedroom, set it up, a backdrop of the Mulberry Town Square behind us. It would be so cool.
That's what the chat room is now. We have a backdrop of the Mulberry Town Square.
I hope people enjoy it. I think it looks really cool, Bill.
I love that picture. I just think that picture. It's like there was a town I lived in when I lived in Michigan called Plymouth, and that's kind of exactly what the town square looks like. Had like that one screen theater. And, you know, it's like your typical small town square.
Right.
But it was only like 20 minutes away from Detroit.
Yeah, that's the idea. That's what I picture in my head. And, you know, what's cool is I don't know if you've been to the Arlington Highlands yet. Have you, Steven? Where it's all they built this new shopping area and it's like storefronts and stuff, the old fashioned kind. And there's this nice theater.
Like they did up in South Lake. They did the same thing up there.
We have a place like that here in Ohio called Easton Town Center in Columbus that's exactly like that. It's all outdoor stores, but there's an indoor area with the theater, the multiplex, and all that.
Yeah, it's the theater grill, the kind where you eat and watch a movie. And they also added a Splitsville, that weird is that like a restaurant / bowling alley? I want to check that place out.
As long as there's a Hot Topic there, I'm fine.
I haven't seen one yet.
I need my emo clothing.
But they have this cool park area with a creek and a water fountain, and Emma likes to go there. So I was like, you know what, this has a nice Mulberry feel. But on the weekend, it's so friggin' crowded, it's insane. But
growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania, it's a crick, not a creek.
A crick.
A crick.
Yeah.
I was telling Heather that we need one of the shops and we would just do the show live from the window. People could look and go, what the hell are those guys doing in there?
Live from the Apple Store.
They try to come in the door's locked. It's like, no, we're just doing a show in here.
Nothing's for sale, buddy.
Nothing to see here, pal. I got to also tell everybody that I broke down and joined Facebook this week. I was so bored. Basically, Mondays are utilized for editing the show and posting it and all that, but I had nothing to do, so I was like, I guess I'll join Facebook now.
Well, yeah, I mean, Steven and I had been members for so long, and we've been bugging you, and there you go. You just showed up. I was like, hey, look who it is.
Well, I got to say that it was really silly of me to put it off for so long because it's pretty cool. It's cool to be able to get in touch with our listeners and be able to instantly, you know, hear stuff. And I think that from now on, when I get emails, I should just post them on my wall. What do you say? That'd be something.
You know what? That's a pretty good idea. Or post them in the fan club or something.
I'm still trying to figure that out. One of our listeners created it, and I'll figure out how to do it. Anybody?
Well, YouTube changed a couple weeks ago, and now it's kind of Twitter-ish.
Oh, you mean Facebook?
I'm sorry, Facebook.
I heard that a lot of people said Facebook had changed and they're annoyed by it, but since I didn't know what it was like before...
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't notice much changes. It didn't really affect me.
The cool thing is actually getting in contact with people you haven't talked to for a long time. That's kind of weird when you do that. It's like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, Jason and I were chatting last night, and he goes, man, there's a bunch of Wallstroms. Have you looked up your last name? And I was like, no, and I did, and I started flipping through, and there's like 20 or 30 pages of...
There's people I've never heard of in my life, but they have my same last name. Maybe we're related. Maybe
what's funny is with my last name, this is a weird story, but my grandfather never met him. My dad's father changed our last name because he felt his sister was a whore.
Whoa.
So I guess it's really L-O-U-G-H-N-E-R, but he changed it to L-A-U-G-H-N-E-R so that, you know, there was a distinguishment.
She's like, a whore, so I'm changing.
Yeah, my sister's a whore, so I'm changing one of the letters in my last name.
Was it like she's dragging her name down through the mud?
Yeah,
or something?
I think so. Like he was embarrassed that this was it was his sister, so he changed her name.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, and I don't even think it was legal, but. I'm probably related to more L-O-U-G-H-N-E-R's than L-A-U-G-H-N-E-R's. So it's kind of bizarre. I'll get messages from people like, do you know Eric from Utah? And I'm like, no. Thanks.
He works at Utah Morning News. Have you ever heard of
him? Oh, hey!
Really? That's my in.
Finally, yes! Now, guys, before we get into a voicemail that we have, I had to play this news story. You know, a lot of times you see news stories, everything's about the swine flu, everything's about, you know, the economy. But I finally saw a news story. I was like, finally, important news, something I want to know about and I want to spread to the masses. Let's check this out. It's very serious stuff.
Fast food chain Popeyes became a victim of its own advertising today. So many customers lined up for a big special. Some locations, including one in Penfield and the city, ran out of chicken. Tonight, customers were clucking their disapproval.
Customers at the drive-thru heard this recorded message.
Sorry for the inconvenience, but we are all out of chicken and we are closed for the rest of the day. Thank you and have a blessed day.
One woman yelled back at the machine.
People have kids that they're trying to feed for the special, and you mean to tell me that we can't feed our kids? Because y'all didn't order enough chicken. Y'all knew y'all was having this special almost 2 months ago, and that's wrong.
But no one was listening. The Popeyes on Lake Avenue was closed by dinner time.
Who see the leprechaun?
I think that's bad because I'm sure hungry. No chicken.
Oh my God.
They just had a chicken.
I said I'm calling the customer service now to see where there's another Popeyes at.
They always run out of food, sides, whether if it's mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, they always run out of something. It's very disappointing. I wanted some chicken today.
Other locations ran out of chicken, too. The $4.99 special, too good to pass up.
Ridiculous.
I just left Penfield Popeyes. They were out of chicken there, so I ran to the city to this one, and they're out, too. This is ridiculous.
They should have had a stockpile of chicken for this day.
They should have had a tractor-tail out back with extra chicken on ice, you know?
Maybe it was the economy that caused the rush on chicken.
She's got a point.
I spent $10 in gas to get some $4.99 chicken.
Isn't that sad? In this economy, people are trying to spend money and they don't want it.
I was trying to feed my family tonight. Can't get that bucket in now.
Customers felt duped.
Can't get a bucket now.
I'm never coming back now. I'm serious. I'm done.
But they got to get their
He's
stuff
done with
together.
Popeyes.
You know, they put their advertisements on and then they don't show up for it.
I'm more disappointed than angry. You know, we've been looking forward to this day.
That's all I have to say.
Angry customers there. Popeye says the franchises are individually owned and responsible for ordering their own chicken.
Hey, they're passing the buck, man. But you know what? That wasn't that a great news story? So much better than swine flu stuff. Thought it was really important to get the word out there.
It's much better than KFC running out of... grilled chicken because Oprah told people.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
Can't get that bucket in now.
Can't get that bucket in. That's genius. But
man, I've been jonesing for chicken. I was going to eat a whole bucket.
You know, I've actually done that before and gone to Popeyes and they go, "We're out of chicken." And I'm like, "Okay."
Well, they probably, you know, get a chicken delivery for the week.
And I didn't think about it. What I should have done is yelled in the drive-thru, how am I supposed to feed my kid now?
Then they go, oh, well, okay. Well, since it's for your children, we'll unthaw one for you.
It's like, we got some biscuits. You want to feed them some biscuits? All right. Isn't Taco Bell next door? You know, just drive to the next place. $4.99.
Go to Taco Bell and go, you got any chicken?
For $4.99?
$4.99 chicken.
That's hilarious. How the hell did that get on the news is what I'm wondering.
You know what? Every day that I turn the news on, I always ask the same question about stories. They honestly just have nothing to report.
I would have gone to Popeyes and ordered...
1 million pounds of tube steak.
Yikes! I wonder how much that would cost.
That would be a lot of money.
Tube steak. What does that even mean, Bill?
I always thought that meant penis, but
a million pounds.
I guess
tube
because
steak.
In Sewer Shark, you go in a tube and your meat, dog meat.
That's like a Sega CD FMV game where it's all video. Remember that game,
Steven? Yeah, I remember
we
played that. Yeah.
And the guy demands that you give him
a million pounds of tube steak.
Wow, kind of crazy.
I would have just said bend over.
Here you go.
There you go. Here's your tube steak, ghost.
All right, guys, we got a voicemail here from Rick. Let's check it out.
I can't believe I'm sending you a message. I don't even know you, but I listen to your show every week, so I think I know you, even though I don't.
Is he drunk?
I just want to say you do a great show, and I like it. I listen to it every week. And it's really good. Keep it up.
Thanks.
I really, really enjoy it. And I have lots of fun listening, and I laugh a lot, too. It's great. I especially enjoy the drops that I use with precision location.
Was that his timer?
And impeccable timing. I just crack up sometimes with the drops that are impeccably timed because I'm into that kind of shit. I like impeccably timed drops. What a dick. I live in Australia. And I just think it's good what you do. It really is.
Thanks, Rick.
So,
thank
just
you.
Keep doing it. And don't listen to all the haters.
We have haters?
Not that there is any, or that I know of. But I'm sure there's haters out there for everybody. I'm sure I've got haters.
Haters.
There's some out there
listening
somewhere.
To me recording this on my computer with. What an idiot. He's recording to some podcast about some shows and movies and entertainment and news. Yeah, what's he doing?
You're being
one show a week's not enough, dude. Step it up a bit, all right? Friggin' get onto it. Get on the pipe. That's an Australian saying that I made up. To get on the pipe. It means get on the cock. But when you say get on the pipe, you can get away with it. Yeah.
You lost me.
Noah Mulberry is good. This is the voicemail. A bit disappointing.
Okay, I officially love him.
I'm going to say a little inebriated.
That was hilarious.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rick, and feel free to send more voicemails.
Make sure you ramble.
What do you guys say we get into?
Entertainment!
Now, we all know that Star Trek came out today, except none of us got to see it. I would have liked to have seen it last night or before the show, but, you know, we're not a movie review show, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Steven, will you go see it with me tomorrow?
Yes, Jason, thank you.
And then...
he was on one knee when he asked that.
Are you going to hold hands?
A million pounds of tube steak.
No.
I always knew it.
Well, and then next week we'll talk about it.
Blaming.
No. And so, next week we'll talk about it. And no one will care by then because they've seen it too, right, Bill?
I'm sure everyone's interested in what we have to say.
You're right. You know, my dad sent me an email, and I posted it on my Facebook of what he thought of it. You know, he writes such eloquent little emails of his movie reviews, and I'm like, I wish I had the non-procrastination to do that, but I don't. So, it sounds pretty cool, and it's J.J. Abrams, so why wouldn't I go see it? I mean, seriously. Certainly. It's not like it's Wolverine, where that kind of crashed and burned fast, didn't it, Bill?
I would, you know, not to get all brocky on you, but I can't wait to see the drop.
Oh, in the box office? Yeah, because it did make some money. Because
the movie sucked. And I can't wait to see how many people don't go see it again.
I read some people said it was punch the guy sitting next to you bad.
So. Oh, yeah. It's some point, you know, you can go. It's one of those movies where it's like head-slappingly stupid.
It's like, Jason, what'd you think of that? Well, you know what I thought of it? Oh, just punch him. I felt like that before.
My coworkers
really
liked
sister,
it.
dragged me to go see Speed Zone.
You know, I've heard that too, Steven. Some people are like, you know, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, when I hear a review of it wasn't that bad, that doesn't mean it's good. It just means you're not as critical.
No, he, the guy I worked with loved it.
Yeah. He's like, dude,
it was
that,
awesome.
That was
so awesome.
You know what it is? It's an action movie for dumb people.
It's maybe it's like...
Or people that don't know any better.
You know, honestly, after the week I had last week of being sick and everything, I probably could have gone see it. And it's like, hey, this is better than having strep throat.
Yeah. I want to see that review. Wolverine, X-Men Origins, Wolverine. It's better than having strep throat.
Yeah, exactly.
10 times better than the swine flu.
I know. Wow. But Star Trek, it looks cool. I mean, it's been getting good reviews and all that stuff, and I can't wait to see it. Now, I am not what you would call a Trekkie or Trekker. I was telling Bill this. I like Star Trek. I've watched the series. I didn't really watch Voyager with Tuvok and his gastrointestinal problem. But
Black Vulcans tend to have bad gas problems.
Well, the thing is...
gastrointestinal distress.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it's called. You know, when I heard that J.J. Abrams was doing Star Trek, I was like, oh, cool, but it's not, I'm not like all jazzed up for it. But I know some people, Steven, you really like Star Trek, but you're not like a Trekker or whatever, Trekkie.
I watch the show. I mean, I like sci-fi stuff, so.
One thing I found out about Andy is that he is a huge Trek.
Trekkie.
Trek nerd. Oh, Trekkie, that's what it's called. It's not called Trek nerd?
No. Maybe that's you're coining a new term. Trek nerd.
Everyone who knows Andy already knows that he got really worked up over this. And I was like, I don't really get it because I guess I'm not that into Star Trek. But, you know, I guess.
Well, I have a feeling with Andy, he gets so worked up because I think it's something that he grew to love with his parents.
Right.
You know, something that, like, was a family thing. So there's a deep-seated love for it. So I can almost understand him going crazy about it.
Right.
But he scared me, honestly. I was like talking to him.
You were getting frightened.
Yeah, I was honestly frightened. I was like, is he going to, you know, shoot some people at the theater?
Andy, put that steak knife down. It's like, no, you don't understand. No one understands but me.
Put the phaser down, Andy.
The phaser. Is that thing set on stun, Andy? No, but
he had it set on kill, for sure.
Do you remember when Battlestar Galactica was first coming on sci-fi? There were people like, this is an outrage! How dare they remake this? I love the old show with Lauren Green and Dirk Benedict. This is bullshit!
Lauren Green can do no wrong.
People were really upset, and we won't go
into... What are they going to do next? Remake Bonanza?
Do you remember, I won't get into major detail here, but Bill,
yeah,
we both
J.J. Abrams is redoing Bonanza.
Someone who really pissed about Battlestar Galactica, and I said, it's not really worth all the respect you're giving it. And he was like, how dare you tell me what I have
to
give respect
hilarious.
To? Who the hell do you think you are? It's like, whoa, tap the brakes there, buddy. I hit a nerve. Somebody's pissed off.
Watching the news last night, and they had an interviewer down there at the local movieplex there, and dude was dressed up in a full outfit. You know,
was he Klingon or
no? He was a Starfleet, and you know, he was dressed like Kirk, and
awesome.
And he had the little tricorder or whatever.
I do and love those old uniforms.
Beam me up, and it was like, oh, dude, please stop.
Hey, that's the next generation photon torpedo, all right? What's coming out next week? Because, you know, when they start cranking out the summer blockbusters one after another, Bill, what do we have coming up in the next few weeks?
Well, let me bring up IMDb.
Sit down, Ceylon.
All right, so next week we have, I think the big opening will be at, Angels and Demons.
Ooh.
The Dan Brown prequel to... What the hell was that movie called?
The
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, never did see that.
But, well, you know what's opening in limited release that's gotten huge word of mouth is The Brothers Bloom.
Oh, I really want to see that. I loved Brick by Rian Johnson.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be insanely good.
And it's called The Brothers Bloom. I really want to see that.
Again, it's Summit Entertainment, so it's limited release.
Right.
Awesome. Probably well, New York and L.A. It'll probably open wide later this month.
Yeah, you know, I never – Brick I saw on HBO, mm-hmm. so I don't want to go that long before I see Brothers Bloom or it premieres on HBO. But that's cool.
I didn't loan it to you on DVD?
No.
No, sorry.
You said I'd scratch it, so that's you wouldn't loan it to me. But what else is coming out, Bill?
That's pretty much it. That's the only big movie next week.
When does the Terminator come out, the new Terminator?
I think that's the 29th, is it? Or 20? Yeah, it's the 29th, I believe. Either the 29th or the 22nd.
I got to say, I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, from the commercials, I can't resist. I'm sorry. I've totally fallen for the Hollywood marketing of it. even though it's the same scenes over and over again.
But, you know, I think the effects look spectacular. I really
yeah,
do think
exactly. That's what's selling me on it. I've been watching Terminator, Terminator 2. I just pretend Terminator 3 doesn't exist.
You know what? They. I know the actor who's actually Chekhov in Star Trek is also Kyle Reese in Terminator, I believe. And he's like a little kid. And I'm like, how's that dude Kyle Reese? What time?
You know what's funny is he's he was on one of my favorite shows on Showtime, Huff. He was the
really?
Son of the Hank Azaria character, Huff. And every time I see him, I think of him in that.
But I was just
he's
like,
been getting some pretty good work. Name is Russian. I can't remember what the hell how to pronounce it.
But I was just how he's a little kid. How is he Kyle Reese?
I'm not asking. I'm telling you.
Maybe it's really early in the timeline. I don't know.
What don't you get about it?
Oh, shit. Christian Bale's getting pissed.
You pissed him off. I told you.
You prick.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and check out what's on our TiVos. Let's get the show going. What do you say, Steven?
Let's do it.
What's on our
DVR.
Yeah! Good enough for me. Now, guys, we have Celebrity Apprentice, and we actually, you know, just some stuff happened this week on Celebrity Apprentice, but it was last week at the end of the show that is worth talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when it was Annie, Melissa, and Brandy on a team, and they, Annie and Brandy, they pretty much put together a cabal to get rid of Melissa. That was her words. What did she say? They instituted a cabal against me
yes.
or something. And I thought it was funnier because they all that they had that Jim
they
Cramer
instituted
guy.
A nightbreed against
a nightbreed. And basically,
wasn't that an arcade game too?
What she Brandy says, I have technically raised more money than Melissa, so she's pretty worthless. So maybe you should get rid of her. And they're like, you know what? You're right. And they get rid of her. And Melissa Rivers freaks out. She's running around like a maniac. And, of course, Joan gets ready to go. But let's go ahead and check this out because I thought it was highly entertaining.
I, A, expected this and accept this. I'm not happy. I came to win. And I feel that I have been maligned by two people who have set up a cabal to set me up for tonight.
Well, I don't think so because I actually think you've
they,
been a
they
lot
have
good
a cabal
for
room
I
where
think
they
you've
meet
been an amazing
and
player.
Discuss how they're going to take down the Rivers
well,
girls.
You have done really an amazing job, but Melissa, you're fired.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then she goes hauling ass out of there, just nah. running.
Bye-bye.
And she's got one of those boots on.
Yeah.
But she's got like an ankle thing.
Joan is not
going to
be
running
happy.
Around.
You have now got a Nazi and a follower. And I wish the two of you a lot of luck. I'm not coming tomorrow.
Joan doesn't want to be here without Melissa. You know, Melissa's her support system, and those two have been kind of teamed up, even though they've been on separate teams. You know, it's mother and daughter. You know, you can't break that bond.
43-year career. I don't work with scum.
They both
I'm
out of here. Two little pit vipers.
No kidding. No
whore pit vipers.
Oh, dear.
We went to say goodbye.
Both, goodbye.
Well, nope, goodbye. Whatever.
I want my and I want it now. Not getting without it.
She had a Popeyes?
And I'm not coming back for
I want my chicken.
I want my chicken. I want it now. I gotta feed my kids.
You are a piece of and you're a stupid blonde. That simple. And you have been so manipulated. You have been so manipulated. She is going to knock you off. Do you think you're going to win?
Let me.
You are not
okay.
going to win. I don't want to hear. You're
okay,
not going to win.
Joan,
this is hilarious.
I'm still here. I'm still here, Melissa's not. So how am I the one that's manipulated?
How about that?
Figure it out.
Yeah,
figure
I'm still out. Here.
Good.
How about
Does
that?
Does this mean that much to you?
Yes, it does, because I want to give $250,000 to my
it's
charity.
It's not all
That's
about money. Oh.
Yes, it is.
Suddenly it's about money.
This woman has things twisted. That's why we're here. We are here to raise money for our charity, okay?
I don't want to hear this charity nonsense. Charity is a very wonderful thing.
I don't care about
this
you.
This Joan I haven't seen, and I definitely didn't think I was going to see
show,
it coming
right?
towards me.
And your people, you give money with blood on it. I met your people
wow.
in Vegas for 40 years. None of them have last names. None of them. They have cash fulls of... You're a poker player. A poker player. That's
awesome.
Beyond white trash.
They live in
a
I think she added an extra H in class poker player. Poker player. Well, she is a
trash.
Whore and a, you know, so a poker player.
I want my now.
What does she
want? I
want
my purse.
She wants
want
a Popeye
everything.
Chicken.
And David,
shit.
You're not getting an interview. Lying. I'm not coming back. Yeah, I've been really ineffective.
Then leave.
Everyone. I'm not coming back up, Mom. Bull. Lying. Horse.
I think that's bad because I'm sure hungry.
I love when they showed Ivanka. She was like, wait, guys, be quiet. I can hear Melissa yelling. And they're like listening. They hear her yelling. This is BS. But I love on these shows whenever somebody freaks out and all of a sudden the producer guy with his headset on comes from around the corner who's hiding the whole time because he can't be on camera. He's like, no, what now? And he's getting yelled at. That always happens on the real world when they're like, dude, you need to calm down. We're going to take you to rehab, okay? But after this episode, it was like, will Joan come back? Did you guys think she was going to come back?
Of course.
Yeah, of course she's going to come back.
Because they're standing there and they're waiting. Well, I don't see Joan. And all of a sudden, ding, the elevator opens up. I'm back.
Perfectly timed.
Yeah, how'd you time that? She's like,
I'm back, you pit viper whores.
Traffic was horrible.
You Hitler and you follower.
But what is she talking about? About charity.
I don't want to hear this charity nonsense.
Isn't that what it, the whole show is to raise money for your charity? That's why you want to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what world Joan Rivers is living in, but I'd try it out.
Well, I was wondering, because Piers won last season, once you win, does Donald Trump really ask you to organize anything, or is it pretty
no,
much your
of course
do you
not.
Get like a plaque or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you get a plaque and a
you get
free
a certificate and a handshake.
You know, I've already read that NBC's picked up Apprentice for next season, too, because people love celebrities acting like jackasses.
If they can get some more jackasses like this year. Yeah.
That would be awesome. But one thing I was sad about, you know, they did the Chicken of the Sea thing, and Clint Black, he did the song or whatever. And I thought it was decent, but they said it was too country. But then Annie does this stupid thing, and she wins based on her jingle and their stupid I thought both of their commercials were really retarded, by the way. You know, it's
The jingle for Annie and Brandy was just so bad.
It was really lame. But when she won, she was like, I can't believe I beat Clint Black writing music. Yeah, she kept talking about what she's done and accomplished. She really is an annoying person.
Yeah,
and,
it's like she did absolutely nothing. She sat in a studio with a couple artists. The artists did it, honey.
Do you say,
I was about to say, she didn't write anything.
There's no way she's not going to win, though, I would think.
She definitely has the advantage over Joan Rivers.
The only way I would... You know, that's the stupid thing about this. What I was just talking about, Piers, the reason he was picked is Trump picks you to be the Celebrity Apprentice based on what you could do for him. Like, you could raise more money, but if once you win, he never really has you do anything, then what's the point?
Yeah. It's charity.
Like, I want to see on this finale what Piers has been doing for Trump in the off season. Like, I've put together benefits and all this for AIDS research and all this, but instead he really didn't do anything, did he?
No, he goes back to the UK and basically appears on
talk shows.
Yeah, and what else? He does the Britain's Got Talent. So, you might even be on the X Factor that they have over there. So,
but you know, one thing I got to say about Celebrity Apprentice, I've been highly entertained by the season. I thought,
yeah, it's a horrible show, but it's incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, it is, and I would hope.
Bye bye.
I would hope that Melissa Rivers is back on the finale to help her mom. Because
I'm sure
like,
she will
not
be.
Coming back. Not coming back. Not coming back for the finale. No.
I saw that. Well, they showed that Hoop was coming back. So
what is a whore pit viper?
Rodman will be there and a few others.
What is that, Bill? A whore pit viper?
That is a snake that will have sex with you for money.
What?
Awesome. Now let's go ahead and talk about Hell's Kitchen, shall we?
Hentai, by the way.
Last week that we didn't get to talk about, Andrea was finally eliminated. Which was awesome.
About time.
She was a jackass. And they did the whole thing where they had to... What do they call that, Bill, where you head the kitchen? You're the head of the brigade and you yell out
You
stuff.
Run the pass.
You run the pass.
Running the pass.
And they showed the Scott guy threaten to punch her in the face. We talked about that. But this...
Chef Scott, I need to eat some gravel.
I think it's funny. Every season when it's down to the final two, they always drop those banners, and it always scares the shit out of them, doesn't it? They always like jump like that.
It's like, you know you're going to split this in half, and each you're going to have your own kitchen. Or have you never seen this show before?
Does Danny wash his hair? That's what I'm wondering.
No. No. Honestly, I don't think he does.
It looks pretty ratty, doesn't it?
It is. It's ratty.
He has a lesbian hairstyle, doesn't he?
He could almost do dreads. He might be a Rastafari.
Okay, I got to talk about this. The episode begins with a 10-minute recap of the entire season.
10? Just 10?
I thought this show was going to be a recap show. I was ready to change it.
The only reason I knew is I was curious and I hit the play button just to see the little bar at the bottom of the DVR and it said 10. So I was like, okay, 10 minutes that recap was. That's a long time on TV. TV minutes.
I was like, Bill, I was almost like, I thought this was just like a repeat show. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I almost shut it off.
So it starts with Danny and Paula. They go to drink some champagne. And this is pretty funny because it's all about how they won't go to bed. They just keep drinking champagne. Let's check it out. And one thing I want to tell you, they show when she first pours some champagne, it shows what? It's like 10:30 or something like that, right? She has a bandana on her head. Then she takes it off while she's talking and they're drinking and stuff. Then all of a sudden it says 2:35. She's pouring more champagne and she's got the bandana back on her head. And then the next shot, it's back off and she's just kind of laying back. So I was like, they just showed the same shot earlier of when she's pouring it at 10. And now they're showing
it.
They're
not big fans of continuity.
And now she has her bandana on her head. Let's check this out. It's so stupid.
Oh, dude, I feel like you can't even describe it. It's just such a great feeling, man.
Oh, we got a nice little
totally good.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, dude, start taking our notes down.
I'm going to not wash my hair and celebrate.
It's like
bubbly.
God's vagina.
Final two. I'm not worried about anything right now. I think I'm going to leave it all for tomorrow.
I'm going to pour the beer and champagne in my hair and wash it.
You should.
The final two.
We're having a little champagne party, Danny and I. Listen, look. I brought my champagne with me. We had to celebrate. It's hard to calm yourself when you're that, like, pumped up.
Chef's like, oh, you know, guys, you have a big day tomorrow. You're going to be up early, this and that. Ah, beautiful sound.
Digging the champagne. I'm hoping that I can drink enough champagne tonight where I just go to bed and wake up refreshed tomorrow.
To the final two, once more, dude.
Let's have some more champagne.
Definitely the right two, man.
One more two.
He jumps a lot of dudes and mans when he's drunk. I was
just like floating right now. I was the youngest contestant, and I'm the last
hey, they got the
man
cicadas
standing. Man, I'm just so stoked.
I'm like, well, I'm just going to keep drinking champagne or hopefully I'll pass out. I've had my
I get
days
that
of partying and
thing, I'm
drinking
get my teeth
and I can pretty much
my
handle my
cut.
Own. So
I'm
going to
get all new
my
fatigues at the art supply store.
After a long night of celebrating, morning comes quickly for Paula and Danny.
I feel like crap.
What was the point of that? It was a filler episode.
Yeah, it was really bad.
And then they go back to the Borgata to have the stupid cook-off that didn't mean anything, did it?
Well, they had that. They've had that like the past three seasons, but they normally do that on the last episode.
Right.
I don't know why they felt the need to.
Well, also they kind of tricked it up where they had family members help them with their restaurant or whatever, or watch over things.
Yeah, that was weird too because they had to go to Atlantic City.
Right, and the stupid thing about benches and fish on the wall. I was seriously falling asleep during this episode. I was like, Jason, homework. You gotta watch this.
I want a big stuffed fish, man. You can do a stuffed fish with class.
I'll never forget. There was a restaurant where in Michigan that my father and I would go to, the Golden Nugget, that had like a 50-foot fish on the wall. And this thing was enormous.
Was it done with class?
Yeah, I walked in, I saw this gigantic fish on the wall, and I thought, now this is a classy joint.
Can't get that bucket in now.
All you can eat crab legs and a giant fish on the wall. Nirvana.
1 million pounds of tube steak.
Oh, dude, you'd clean up at that restaurant. Dude, I got my menu, chef. 1 million pounds of tube steak.
I wonder if you have to slice tube steak thin.
Yes.
What?
Okay, so at the very end of the show, this is when it gets good. The Gordon Ramsay's got all these different platters. They're covered up. What could be under them? Did you guys know? I was looking to see if the table was going to shake or something because, you know, there's people in there. And they're going to reveal what's in there. Let's check it out. This was just basically awesome, wasn't it, Stephen?
Yeah.
Tonight will be the most important night of your entire life. Tonight has to work, yes? Right now, one more challenge for both of you. Underneath these domes are key ingredients that both of you need.
Key ingredients?
Are you ready?
Yes, Chef. Chef.
One, two, three.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What the
f***? It's the basket.
Welcome back,
DC
Brigade.
Wow. Hello, Brigade.
I was just shocked. It was like a horror show. You know, Ben's like rolling his eyes. It was a freaky sight.
Oh, great to see them, right?
Yes.
Saw Lacey underneath one of the domes. I was like, ugh. Hope I don't get her.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Chef.
Andrea, how are you doing?
I'm amazing, Chef.
LA, rested?
Oh, yeah.
Ben?
Yes, Chef.
How you doing?
I'm ready to roll.
Lacey.
Hi, Chef.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Chef.
Hi. I'm back, bitches. They're probably like, oh, I gotta work with her.
Carol.
Yes, Chef.
Good to see that smile still beaming.
It's never going off, Chef.
Gio.
Yes.
How are you today?
Fine.
Ready to give it your all?
Yeah. I got one more day of hell. Hopefully, Chef will stay away from me and I'll be fine.
Okay. Danny.
Oh, that's a good attitude.
You won the final challenge at Borgata. You will have the first pick for your brigade. One of the most crucial
first
choices.
First pig.
My first decision is going to be Ben, Chef. Welcome aboard.
Really, the pickings are slim, man, aren't they?
Paula.
Yes, Chef.
Who is the first person?
I
want to
do it all by myself,
brigade?
Chef.
Chef, I got to take my girl, Andrea.
Andrea, congratulations. Well done. Okay, Danny, who is your second choice?
My second choice is Giovanni, Chef.
I know.
Giovanni.
What are the sounds supposed to be telling me emotionally?
Paula.
Yes, Chef.
Who is it?
Strong one on the line. LA.
Okay, two ladies left.
I'm just waiting for the end. I'm going to be the last kid left in gym class.
My last choice is going to have to be Carol, Chef.
Carol? Great.
Aw, come
Lacey.
On, why not Lacey?
Clearly,
Chef.
With Paula.
Yep, Paula got stuck with Lacey. Sorry for that.
I swear to you, if she so much as thinks about giving attitude today, I'm going to come at her like a tornado.
Now, one thing I got to say about Lacey is, did they not have any little touch-up makeup for that big blemish on her forehead? It stood out like it was like a beam of light. It was like this bright red dot on her head, and it, she wasn't Hindu.
It's
it,
a face
it was
for a magazine, the, dude.
Because
it's
it was on the before, side of her forehead.
It's the before picture.
So basically this was all a setup for next week. You will not believe the finale. Nah, we'll believe
you
it.
You will not believe the chaos in the
kitchen. Somehow we'll survive.
Well, you know, one thing that's funny about that recap at the beginning that's of 10 minutes, I'm just like, this has been a worthless season of the show. That's one thing it tells you. It's like, wow, this is a. There's nothing going on this show.
Yeah, we needed to, like, the guy was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
The guy at Popeyes.
I love how they try to create the drama, but it's severely lacking.
Yeah.
I'm never coming back now. I'm serious. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's talk about Dollhouse. And before we do, I got to mention, Bill.
La 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 la.
Ah, yes.
I have to.
The soothing sounds of Dollhouse.
La, 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 la,
Bill, I had been complaining to you about how Fox looked like shit where I live.
Yes.
I mean, it was all grainy and the edge enhancement was jacked up. But I noticed that it's gotten better.
Good.
By the time Fringe came on, it was back to normal. Last week's Fringe, before that, looked horrible. And luckily, it's all back to normal. And I'm happy. Now, Dollhouse, like a week ago, was the one where she had the dead lady's mind put into her and she had to solve her own murder and all that. And by the way, I picked who the killer was when I first saw him. Bo Bridges' son, I believe, is who he is. But I thought that episode was okay. It was funny or whatever. But this week, Bill, this was really good. They cranked it up to 11 on Dollhouse, did they not?
Yeah, it's one more. It's one more than 10.
Exactly. Now, Hilo, he finds Alan Tudyk, who we all know as Wash from Firefly. He designed the dollhouse. He designs...
he didn't design it.
Well, yeah.
He took the personality of the person.
Hey,
that
no, that, guys, I'm revealing eventually. Steven.
Steven, you've got to calm yourself down.
I will reveal that eventually.
You're screwing me up.
Now, when he goes to visit him, he's got this pot den there. Where he's growing this quirky, crazy guy. I love Alan Tudyk. I was happy to see him there.
He's such a great actor.
I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, he was fun.
If you want to see a hilarious Alan Tudyk, check out Death at a Funeral, the Frank Oz film.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
He's hilarious in that.
I've heard that's really funny. You've told me
that before. Yeah, it's an amazing movie.
Now, basically what it is what Hilo thinks is he's the guy who designed the dollhouse
as
a self-contained building that runs off its own power, its own oxygen or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Awesome.
It's almost completely off the grid.
Right. And he can help Hilo get into it. Paul Ballard. Eventually, you notice how we used to call, at least I did, I used to call Peter on Fringe Pacey, but he became Peter. He's Peter for me now.
Yeah, he's Peter now.
Paul Ballard is not yet Paul Ballard. No. He's still Hilo to me. It's too soon.
Timo Pinniquet has not yet stepped up his acting abilities to...
Timo Pinniquet. Have you guys noticed he walks really weird, by the way?
Yeah, like he has a corn cob up his
ass. He has this little sachet he does that's funny.
I'll have to pay attention to that.
But here's one of the scenes here. They get into the dollhouse, and I think it's pretty funny. He's Alan Tudyk. His character, who turns out to be who, Steven?
Alpha.
He turns out to be Alfalfa. You're right.
Turns out to be the pirate from Dodgeball.
He turns out to be Steve the Pirate.
Steve the Pirate.
But I love this here. He's telling him to put on the outfit. He's like, I don't want to put that outfit on or whatever. And I love this part because Topher comes walking by. He just walks by him and he stops for a second. He's like, wait a second. Who are you guys? But let's check this out. It's awesome.
Hey.
I'm gonna die in pajamas.
Person I don't know.
Ashley, I'm from upstairs. Security review.
I have a work order here. Maybe you can...
What the hell was that?
I like that.
Some kind of like joy buzzer stun gun. I mean, officially I deplore violence, but that was... It totally worth the loss of karma points.
Computer.
You can take down security from there, right?
I love that fast typing.
I mean, I could if this guy wasn't a paranoid freak.
Is that Vanessa in the background?
There's like a trillion layers of passwords on here. No, this isn't company stuff. This is his own personal minefield. I need a different computer.
Let's go.
Wait, hold on. Let me watch for a minute, see if I can notice any patterns, security patrols, anything. Would you look at this place? I mean, first of all, feng shui, the yin yang also. I designed parts of it, but I did not design the stone cold foxes and the small clothes and the ample massage facilities. I mean, ample. Don't get me wrong, I heart my porn, but this is cool.
This is a bad place.
I heard my porn.
This is a bad place.
Good place. And this is the future. The machine feeds them what they need. The machine takes away what it needs. A closed system. The earth is not harmed. And we're all just cells in a body.
Cells in a body? That's the future. We're all functional, interchangeable.
We already are, man. Well, you didn't.
Yeah, like we said, man.
I was trying to tell you.
Like Tommy Chong here.
I was talking like Danny was.
Continuous universe, and the best that we can do,
dude,
is to try not to kill it.
Dude, give me a catfish
inside.
No, there's more we can do.
Yeah, okay. If you really think you have a choice, let's go. There's a lull in traffic. Come on.
You know, there's a part where Paul Ballard, he goes to open up Echo's little sleep chamber, you know? He opens it up and she's in there. And what is the name of the guy who is her handler, or he was her handler, he got promoted? He comes up behind Hilo and they start a long, dragged out fight that reminded me of They Live, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
I was like,
totally.
Dude, this is like, I'm like looking at my watch, even though I don't wear one. I'm like, dude, how long is this fight? This is like David Keith, Rowdy Roddy Piper territory we're getting here.
I was waiting for a dumpster to show up.
I was waiting for him to go, Paul Ballard just
put
go,
these on!
Put these glasses
put
on!
Put them on!
It's like, no! And they're just fighting or whatever. I thought that was great. But it turns out that he is Alpha. Alan Tudyk is. And when they revealed that, I gotta admit, I wasn't even thinking about it, honestly. And
well, it was already spoiled for me. I knew that he was Alpha.
Ah, bummer.
But what's great about it is you figure out that Alpha somehow is able to control all these different personalities. Like, he doesn't have to be flashed. He actually has multiple personalities in his head already that he can interchange between.
And he has all these talents and stuff. And you almost think, like, they input the way for him to design the dollhouse. Like, it wasn't him. Did he just kill the guy?
They killed the guy. No, he took the guy's brains, basically, and killed him, yeah. And then dumped him in Wisconsin or whatever.
Yeah, and he made himself where Paul Ballard would find him, right?
Well, Phoenix, Tucson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And what was interesting is it sounded like...
I don't even remember.
It sounded like he hinted that the doctor, Amy Acker's character, is also a doll and she doesn't know it. Didn't it seem like that?
Yeah,
when they,
it did.
They have that one dickhead guy.
Well, that would make
brought
sense
back,
because...
And he mentions, like, whiskey. You know, there's whiskey, Tango, Victor, Echo, Sierra, Niner, whatever. Bravo. What? But anyway, I was thinking that. But what if everyone who's in there, that's what's crazy about the doll thing.
Well, it could be, because that way they don't know anything.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like you could all be sleeper agents. They could make anyone, like, you don't even know you're one. It's almost like a Cylon kind of thing we're getting into here. But what I think is interesting is he programs Echo into some kind of southern chick who's all in love with him or something. I don't know what it was. I don't know, but it almost seemed like a natural born killers kind of thing in a way.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And I'm assuming that he's going to turn her into what he is, take her back to his place and put multiple personalities into her.
And he thinks it's like an evolution. You know, this is what it's going to be, man. He's got some Dennis Hopper in there, too.
Will Lynn B.K. Cylons?
But,
you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to say that I've been very wishy-washy on Dollhouse, and not last week, but the week before, when they did the Topher sub story, where they finally brought out the character instead of just have him being an asshole, and, you know, showing him how it's his birthday and he gets to take the one of the dolls and turn her into a video game player and all that stuff, and you got to his personality really came out in it.
Yeah,
that
it did.
I really started to appreciate the show, like it was actually evolving into what it was supposed to be at the beginning.
And I like that they reveal at the end that she lets him do that once a year because it's his birthday.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. Yeah, I like that too. And I gotta say that I'll be sad if Dollhouse goes away, because I do see potential here.
Yeah, it's starting to finally show potential. I would say to anyone that hasn't watched it, start watching it, start giving it the credit that it's due, because I have a feeling that Fox will probably can it.
And it always does have a moment where it's kind of like cheesy, but I almost think that, you know,
they do it on purpose.
Joss Whedon does it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a moment of levity.
There was a moment, like I was talking about the week before, where she was this dead lady, this old dead lady, and the lady, she went to the funeral and everything, and her daughter's talking about how she's sad. She goes, I'm feeling so emo right now. She goes, of course you're not Elmo. And she was like, what? No, emo, emotional. She's like, oh. And it's just like a stupid scene, but
yeah.
I thought that was funny. She thought, it's like, what does that even mean? How could she be Elmo? What? But
granted, what's her name? Dushku's acting has yet to improve. But
oh, sorry. That was my Elmo.
that was scary.
Sorry.
That was scary.
I'm here to, got nothing.
That almost sounded like Chucky. Who wants to die?
So what do you guys say? We take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about the finale of Heroes that everyone's already forgotten about. Let's do it. See you in a minute, everybody.
That was brutal.
Just awful.
The big question about new Nerd cereal is...
Which side?
Are you gonna eat first?
Orange flavor on this side.
Orange!
Cherry flavor on this side.
Cherry!
So...
Which side?
They're both so delicious, I can't decide.
New Nerd cereal is the fruity good part of your complete breakfast.
Which side are you gonna eat first?
Which side are you gonna eat first?
Also available in grape and strawberry. Nerds.
My pet monster.
He's bigger than big.
When he fights battles, he always wins.
And he's your friend, too.
He breaks his chains.
Put him on you and break away, too.
With my pet monster, you're busting loose.
He's big.
And scary.
And helps people, too.
And he's your friend, too.
My pet monster plays all day.
Tough.
Awesome.
Looking great.
And all your friends will want him for their friend, too.
My pet monster has breakaway chains from Amtoy and American Greetings Company.
Flex breaks all the rules.
Flex, bump, power tires.
Flex, whose power tires automatically lower to get below any roadblock. And rise to overcome any challenge.
Bump, power tires.
Flex, it's got all the muscle you'll need.
Flex, bump, power tires.
Flex, batteries not included. Flex, another power machine from Galoo.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic word, so look what you did.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You'll get the best for so much less. You're both to put the lid.
If it's new and hot.
It's a toy they've got.
And the prices are hard to beat.
I don't want to grow up.
Cause if I did,
you couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
More games, more toys.
It's the world's biggest toy store. Let's go.
Rock Lords, rocks that come alive. Rock Lords, fighting to survive. Living rocks with strength and might, rising up to crash and fight.
Rock Lords, powerful living rocks.
You control their appearance, but no force in the universe can contain the power and the fury of Rock Lords.
Shaking, quaking, crashing, breaking.
Rock Lords, powerful living rocks.
Each sold separately from Tonka.
Imagine me and you and me, together eating golden grams so happily. That crispy graham and honey taste was meant to be, so happy together. Love that golden honey and graham, grab the taste of golden grams. It's a part of your complete breakfast, those golden grams.
Chicken McNuggets, time for your knock. Joke.
We're almost ready.
And your mark, get set.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad you're a McNugget, buddy?
Oh, I love corny jokes.
You can't beat them.
Now there are 10 McNugget Buddy toys you can collect, each with a removable costume to change and rearrange. You get one McNugget Buddy with each McDonald's Happy Meal you buy. Two different buddies are available each week. McNugget Buddy's Happy Meal at McDonald's.
Keebler presents the appealing taste of baked potato skins in a crunchy chip.
Potato skins got baked potato appeal, because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real.
The Keebler elves make potato skin snack chips with real potatoes and skins.
Cheddar cheese and bacon, sour cream and chives, tasty baked potato.
And they finally got barbecue flavor, too.
They're made with potatoes and skins that are real. Potato skins from Keebler. Baked potato appeal.
Juice with Starburst. Now there's real fruit juice in every chew. Start up the juice with Starburst. Now there's real fruit juice in every bite.
All right!
Start up the juice with Starburst. Four mouth-watering flavors keep coming at you. Make them make your mouth water with every chew.
Start up the juice with Starburst fruit juice.
Starburst up the juice.
Come on, start up the juice.
Dear Grandma and Grandpa, I'm pleased to announce the arrival of Arnold Clyde. You.
Adopting a real Cabbage Patch Kid is a joy for the whole family.
Arnold Clyde!
I can't wait to see him!
They're here!
Look, genuine adoption papers and birth certificates.
You can't even get a birthday card.
There's Arnold Clyde.
Oh, look, your dimples.
Your smile.
Your hair.
Your glasses.
Definitely our great-grandson.
The Cabbage Patch Kids from Coleco.
You're looking at Cobra's new high-speed attacker, the Cobra Stun.
Look, it's a G.I. Joe recon sling. After him.
The Cobra Stun holds 11 Cobra soldiers.
Cobra!
And during battle with the Joes, the front end of the stun can separate to take them on.
It's really dangerous, Cobra Stun. Really dangerous to G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe. Cobra Stun comes with driver, G.I. Joe recon sled, and figures sold separately.
Said.
Karate, come from heart.
I will show no mercy.
Discover the secrets of karate with Karate Kid Dry Action Figures.
Concentrate, Daniel-san.
They chop, twist, and kick. The Karate Kid and Johnny are each sold separately. And for more action, look for the Karate Kid Competition Center from Remco.
How do you learn the secrets of karate from an action figure?
I'm just glad they got a Johnny action figure out there. I'm just glad they have the competition center.
Daniel!
Trash, darling! Trash!
Hey, Bill, how's our feed going? Is everything aces in the
chat? I think the delay is building up. They said that it was choppy for a little while near the beginning, but I think that was just the delay building up.
Right.
But I think it's okay now. There hasn't been any complaints.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. Now let's talk about Heroes, shall we? Awesome. We predicted the Heroes finale would be a train wreck, and we were not disappointed, were we?
No, I think it lived up to expectations of shit.
You know, they were setting up that Siler just wanted to meet the president. He was going to meet the president, and it turns out to be Worf from The Next Generation, right?
It was good to see Worf working again.
Yeah. When Peter and Nathan show up and they're going to kick Siler's ass, it was awesome. We predicted on our last show.
I love you, Nathan. I love you, Peter.
Remember we predicted it would happen off screen? They open a door, they fly in, the door slams.
Yeah. You see just a tiny bit of lightning and that's it.
It's like, what's going on in there? And Claire's trying to open the door.
I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm sure it looks real cool.
And in their fight, how did
I wish we had the effects money to show it.
Yeah, how did Peter wind up next to Claire, and why would Nathan even keep fighting with Siler? He's going to...
Yeah, exactly. Of all the things that Peter could do, why would he ever leave Nathan with Siler? Honestly.
Right.
Because the moment he did that, I was like, where the hell are you going, you numbnuts? Your brother's going to get killed.
He cuts his throat, and he bleeds out. He's dead. It's really sad.
Yay.
Then we have
it was pretty graphic for a television show.
Yeah, it was. And I want to know this. How many Matt Parkman scenes have there been this season where someone's like, Matt, we need you to do this? He's like, no, I don't want to. Convince me why. Well, because you guys know, I don't feel like it. I got to do this. No, please,
easily
Matt.
Has become the most annoying character on the show.
This happens here. Basically, they decide that since Nathan's dead, Nathan's the only person who can convince the president that powered people are good people and they shouldn't be hunted down like dogs. So we need to convince Siler using Matt Parkman's power to persuade him or program him into thinking he's Nathan so he can switch into Nathan and blah, 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 blah.
I wanted a scene like Bride of Frankenstein where, like, they're both on a table. And
I wanted to know this, Bill. Remember when Noah HRG was shot in the eye? He was dead.
Yes.
And he was brought back by injecting Claire's blood into him. He completely healed. Noah even knew that happened. He knew that's how he was brought back to life. He's like, well, we got to hurry up before Claire and Peter. It's like, why didn't that ever occur to him? I don't understand. It's Claire's dad. Obviously, her blood will work without a doubt or whatever.
Well, it worked on HRG.
Yeah.
Biologically her father.
So why didn't they even think of that is what I want to know.
You know what? They they are grasping at straws, and they wanted to create some drama.
Tim, what are you doing with your fist up your ass? I'm pulling some storyline out of it.
You don't need to do that. They just flow out.
£1 million of tube steak.
Here's an old story from Crossing Jordan. I wonder if we can adapt that.
Let's go ahead and check this awesome scene out.
This is insane. This will never work.
It'll make it work.
It's the only way.
It has to be right now. I don't know how much time I bought to
convince Matt Parkman in the scene.
We should just chain him up, huh? Or trank him. Isn't that what you guys love to do? I don't want to be part of this.
But you came back to protect your family, Matt.
I did, but what you're asking me to do is crazy.
Who will convince the president the whole thing was a mistake without Nathan?
President Ward.
Nothing's going to change.
Word gets out that a person with abilities murdered a U.S. senator. You're going to have 100 Nankos out there.
Even if I could do what you're asking me to do, he would never really be Nathan. He'd always be Siler.
Siler can absorb all of Nathan's memories and the entire history
Danko.
Of anything he touches
you're
with
welcome.
Him in the gaps.
Physically,
now, how
will ever
how is
know
he
going to
do that?
Permanent. Look,
where did they even come up with this idea?
How does Parkman get all of Nathan's memories out of his dead head?
Because
he's not all the way dead.
From like the Princess Bride, there's dead and then there's dead dead.
You're right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And how do we explain what happened to him? There's a body in deep freeze in building.
Ah, there you go.
Identical shapeshifter.
I knew that would come back to
your
haunt
son
us.
Your son, Mr. Parkman, you just wanted to protect him. Can you honestly tell me that if something happened to him, you wouldn't do anything?
I would convince Peter that he's my son.
Yeah.
I can't lose Nathan. Not like this.
Why not?
So why not replace him?
Adopt a kid.
Go to, you know, Africa like Madonna and...
And life is over. Siler's dead. And life is over. Siler is dead.
Oh my God.
And now, Nathan. Petrelli.
Become Nathan.
Son. Brother. Father.
Asshole.
There can be only one!
Huh?
Hey, it worked. Ah, there you go.
I know everything. Nathan knows.
So stupid. And then
now Zachary Quinto can get out of his contract.
And then at the end, he's like, hey, this clock, it's running fast. Uh-oh, he has Siler's ability to fix clocks. Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
We're going to open up a clock shop.
And then it ends with whatever Ali Larter's character's name is.
Laura Lake.
She comes back as a water chick, and she's apparently killing all the agents who worked at that place.
Because she's angry.
Yeah.
Filling up
and
their lungs
she's not
going to
put
water.
Up with it anymore.
So we got that to look forward to next season, guys. I'm hoping this happens in the off season. Tim Kring is fired.
Yeah, and Brian Fuller is promoted to head writer and showrunner.
Just give him the show is what I'm saying.
And maybe, or maybe, you know, hire some actual writers, you know, some people that actually know comics, know the dynamic of it.
And they did, they set it up where Peter got Siler's powers. And they did a, you know, I even liked how he outsmarted Siler or whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. He outsmarted him or whatever. But the whole fighting scene and all that, it's just, they don't know what to do. It's so obvious. No. They don't know how to handle anything.
They don't have any directors on the show that know how to handle action. I think Smallville actually handles action better than Heroes.
Yeah, on Smallville, they've learned to, what they do is they grab someone and they throw them. They just throw each other around rooms. And that's what they need to do in here is just throw each other around.
Except on camera. Not off camera.
Exactly.
I have socks for you.
Yes, and they need to pass out socks to everyone.
Yeah, every episode somebody needs to get socks from Aunt Trouble.
That would be
She'll
so
just
awesome.
Walk up to somebody on the street and go, I have socks for you.
Oh, hey. God, I would love that. It's just like a charitable
She'll
thing.
The sock lady of New York.
Angela with Charlie hands socks out to the homeless. It would be awesome.
Yeah. That's her new thing. That's, you know,
oh, sorry, Joan.
Her and Nathan / Siler start the Socks for You initiative.
The
and
socks
they just
for you.
Hand socks out to people.
They need to do that in between commercials. Just give socks.
Socks. The gift that keeps on giving.
Warm feet. That's what the world needs.
Yep, everyone needs warm
Nobody
feet.
Nobody wants frostbite toes.
Now let's talk about Fringe. Good riddance, heroes. Ah, yes, Fringe. I love the Fringe. I'm so glad that Fringe is here and all that kind of stuff. Last week was that weird vampire-type lady episode.
Yeah, that was freaky, dude.
At first you think she just like does something with the spinal fluid, but then when they show her go... I was like, oh!
Man, I loved like the spinal cord sticking out. And
oh, yeah, that was nasty.
That was so awesome.
I've already told you this, that I cannot eat while Fringe is on. Like,
no, we have learned that.
I'll finish eating before watch Fringe, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode I thought was really cool. And too bad I can't remember any of it. No, it has the lady who bursts into flames.
Yes. Yes.
And they have this
She's
weird
the fire starter.
They have this weird little side story thing going on where Olivia sees two bodies, and we keep seeing two bodies, and I'm like, oh, that must have been someone standing next to her or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, who's the other body? And they're like, what other body? And he goes, and it disappears, and it's like, what? And she's like traveling between two different
dimensions.
Planes of existence or something. Two different.
Yeah, she's hopping dimensions.
Well, there's that one where the city was burning and you see sirens and stuff. And did you guys notice the spray painting on the wall that said, he is here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
I think that's a dimension where the war has already started, that ZFT war that they're predicting.
And one thing that I was telling you is I think that's Kilroy is here is what that meant.
Yeah. If you turn the corner on that block, there's a picture of a dude with a really long nose and fingers over a wall.
Wait, the Observer has a bald head just like Kilroy.
He's Kilroy.
Uh-huh. See, we're figuring it out, guys. We're figuring these clues out.
And you like
I'm
that
kidding,
Peter's kind of turning into his dad, making these weird inventions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like he's like taking apart all this stuff. And what did you think of the nice Clint Howard on another show? Making the rounds?
When his name popped up there, I was like... Yes.
I thought it was funny. Everything he was saying made a lot of sense. Here's who I think William Bell is. He's the head of the secret terrorist organization. And everything, they're like, wow, this guy's really on the page. And then he starts talking about Romulans. And then it goes off.
That was like the perfect little moment of, holy shit, this guy's crazy.
And I was like, wait a second. Why are they talking about Star Trek? What does that have to – wait, J.J. Abrams, what does he have to do with – tie-in.
The writers of the show are also the writers of
Star Trek. Did he have a Burger King Star Trek glass on his desk?
I think he did. Oh, no, with the King-ons.
And I was waiting for Olivia just for no reason to kill Clint Howard, just like Siler did. That would have been awesome.
Cut his head right off and study his brain.
But do you guys remember Walter's talking about the ZFT manuscript there was like this missing chapter about
ethics.
He said it's missing, and I got to find it somewhere. And there's this great scene right here where he needs Frankenberry cereal, and it'll help him remind him of where he put it, the manuscript, because apparently a long time ago he was eating Frankenberry when it happened. I guess. Let's check it out.
I need to do that, too, before the show.
You get it? No, I told you, they don't have it. It has to be Frankenberry. That's what I ate back then. If I'm to remember where I hid the manuscript, it's a simple sense memory, Peter.
But they don't have it. For all we know, they don't even make it anymore.
I did, however, get you this. All the artificial sugary sweetness a growing scientist needs.
Hello, Agent Dunham. Let me guess. You're a cornflakes gal. Am I correct?
Yeah. Why not? So, we went to the victim's apartment, and there appears to be evidence of other fires.
So the bus stop wasn't her first incident?
No. Walter, does that mean something to you?
Well, it changes everything. We can rule out spontaneous human combustion, for one. I mean, that's strictly a one-off event, as you can imagine.
So what does it rule in?
Pyrokinesis.
Stop. There's no time for jokes, Walter.
Pyrokinesis?
It's not even a real word. It was made up by Stephen King. You ever see Firestarter, Drew Barrymore? The little girl who can start fires with her mind?
Mr. King coined the term, but the phenomenon existed long before that. It's not that complicated, really. It's merely a form of telekinesis, that the ability to move objects with the mind.
Merely.
However, with pyrokinetics, they can excite objects at a molecular level. Look, think of each of these grains of cereal as a molecule. As the molecules start to vibrate more quickly, they generate heat, energy, until that energy must be at least.
Fascinating demonstration, Walter, but it still doesn't explain why it is that Susan Pratt blew up.
I suspect this was a newfound ability. But it takes training to generate a heat source outside of the body. Without proper control, the energy is turned inward. You see, she had no other option.
So you think that she had a choice? To either blow somebody else up or blow herself up?
Yes, but this poor woman had yet to master her ability. Which made her a powder keg. Emotional stress, agitation, any high anxiety would set her off.
So where does this ability come from? Is it that she was just born different, or is it something that someone did to her?
That is the real question now, isn't it?
I'm not cleaning that up, by the way.
Now, there was the scene where you figure out that the girl had a twin sister, and that creepy doctor took her. And Olivia goes to save her, and she gets locked in. And this is my favorite part of the show, because the asshole of Fringe that's always giving him a hard time, the Rudzinski of Fringe, if you will, Bill, he is turns out to be a jerk, right? And he's like, ha, 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 you're going to die, Olivia. And she's like, don't, you know, the lady's like, something's going to happen, I'm going to start a fire. And she goes, no, just concentrate all your energy on a different spot. And I love the guy's like, oh, he like bursts into flame. I was like, yes, the asshole is dead.
What's funny is he played an asshole on the first, on Jericho.
Oh, really? He was the bad guy?
He wasn't bad for all the show, but he was like the guy that was running against
he's just the pain
Gerald
the ass
McCraney
guy.
For mayor. So he'd always do shit to get in Gerald McCraney's way, Major Dad's way.
Nice. So
he had time to perfect his asshole routine.
And I was so glad to see him die. And also,
more shows need to do that. They need to do that to Rudzinski next week.
Well, I love the scene where Olivia, you know, the case is wrapped up, everything's happy, and they're in a diner, and Olivia comes in when Peter goes to the bathroom, and she questions him about everything. Like, why did you do this to these children? Why did you do that to me? And she's really berating him, and he gets upset because he really can't remember. And she's got kind of the scowl on her face, and then she walks out, and I started thinking, that's alternate dimension Olivia. That's not the real Olivia. That's like mean Olivia from the other dimension. And then my brain started...
Evil Olivia.
My brain started hurting. I was like, nah, never mind. Maybe it wasn't.
What the hell is that company in Middleman?
The Middleman!
the alternate reality company where...
where she works.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Sorry.
But at the end, the Observer comes walking in. It's time to go, Walter. And what the hell's going on?
Well, Lilac, he found the manuscript, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
he
found the
he found
ethics.
About ethics. That's really interesting. And also the redheaded chick from Massive Dynamic. She is offed, apparently. And you know what was funny? Because I was thinking, like, I thought it was Massive Dynamics until I noticed it was Massive Dynamic. And I was
It was actually Massive Dynamics in the beginning.
Right.
But then somebody squatted on the
name,
the site.
Right.
The
That's
Dynamic.
What I was going
to
say.
So they had to change it to Massive Dynamic.
Yeah, somebody was an asshole and they stole the site name from them. So they're like, man, we'll just drop the S. You know? But I'm really excited to see what happens, what else goes on. You know, everyone knows that Siler is now Spock. But what? No, I mean, everyone knows that Spock is William Bell, right?
Yes.
Right.
We've already heard his voice.
And also, did you know that they hired Siler to play Leonard Nimoy, who plays William Bell on Fringe?
I'm confused.
Me too. My head hurts. Well, anyway... Let's talk about 24, where our brain won't hurt anymore.
That's debatable.
Yeah, it will hurt very much. You know what I love about 24? Seriously, that Tony, not only is Tony a bad guy, he turns out to be a bad guy, he's worse than Hitler, Steven.
He is? Hitler and Buchenwald.
Yes. He is an asshole. He's going to destroy this Muslim guy's life. To make him look like a terrorist.
And what's great is they haven't even explained his motivation. He's just an asshole.
Oh, I know, totally. Even they show a scene where Chloe and Jack has to tell her that he's dying and she's real sad. And he's like, you got to know this, that Tony, he turned on us. She's like, well, he's got to have his reasons. It's like, the writers haven't come up with the reason yet. And she's like, oh my God.
The writers, we just don't know yet.
But here's this great scene where Jack, he's injected himself I don't know how many times with this serum that keeps them from spazzing out. And they're going to go, all of a sudden on their mainframe, they've booted up the old CTU mainframe, right, Bill?
Yes.
They've just rerouted the subsystems.
They pulled the files out of the attic.
Yes, exactly. And all of a sudden they've got all this information, like, hey, there's this extremist guy, his green card is used up, he's got to go back to Mexico. And... you close enough. So anyway, here's what happens here, is they figure out he's a terrorist, right? So they're going to go and find out where he lives, but first they got to go to where Muslims hang out, right?
Yeah. They always congregate somewhere.
They go to a mosque.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what it is. So they question this guy who used to be on Crossing Jordan. Let's check it out.
You're right. Holy shit.
I love that guy. He's a decent actor, isn't he?
We're looking for a man who worships here. We believe he may be helping to plan another attack that might be happening soon in D.C.
I knew the blame would eventually fall on us.
His name is Gibran Alzarian. Do you know him?
Gibran?
That's an awesome
Why
name.
Do you think he's a terrorist?
He fits a specific profile.
He's Muslim.
You mean he is a Muslim?
He's a Pakistani national. His visa lapsed a year ago, and he has
he's
no
a
legal
pachydermist.
Address. He listed you as a personal reference.
He's an elephant!
Someone worships his private information, protected by law.
Right now, finding Alzarian is the only way we're going to prevent an attack against civilians. So I ask you again, sir, do you know him?
Look at the photo!
Whoa, Jack. Oh,
please, don't headbutt me.
I didn't even know you were there, Jack.
I know him, but he is not a terrorist.
What makes you so sure?
Sneaky bastard.
He gave me socks once. For spiritual advice. I know the man.
I thought he was nice.
He is not violent and he is not an extremist.
We have evidence that indicates otherwise.
Extremists, this guy's
like to see this
mountain
evidence.
Climb and stuff.
Listen to me.
Speelong
we did not come here to debate this with you. Where does he live?
I don't know where he lives.
Where does he work?
I don't know that.
And I don't believe
7-Eleven.
You. But you expect me to believe you?
Not good.
I watched your hearing.
He drives a cab.
I know what you have done.
Oh,
tell me, why should I believe anything you say to me?
First, because you don't have a choice. Second, because I am telling you the truth.
And third, because my name is Jack Bauer.
Worship with information you should not have, an outrageous accusation, no legal warrant, and threaten me.
I have not threatened you.
Not yet.
I have yet to bring the gravitas.
I've got it in my back pocket. I can reach back there anytime.
I don't know. But even
if I did, I would say nothing.
Ooh, I like that effective
line. Help you arrest an innocent man.
Huh?
Jack, it's Chloe. I found something weird about these hits on Gibran Aldarian.
Go ahead.
You know how I said that the $2 million was deposited into his account over a period of 6 months? That wasn't right. They were backdated.
What do you mean?
One of the trace algorithms caught a discrepancy. All that money was really just deposited 30 minutes ago.
What about the extremist
trace algorithm?
Same thing with the timestamps. The hits were backdated 30 minutes ago.
Are you absolutely positive?
It looks that way. Gibran could be innocent. What's going on, Jack?
Chloe found evidence that Gibran is being set up. He's been framed.
Why would Almeida frame an innocent man?
Because they wouldn't want to risk
the
attack.
He's a bad guy?
Properly. How can I be so stupid? An innocent man is so much easier to control. All they needed was a Muslim. They could create whatever background they wanted. Give me your hands.
I am surprised.
Why, you were right.
Not about Gibran. My experience with the authorities, the police, is that they will go to any lengths not to admit they were wrong. Even at the expense of an innocent man's life. At least you didn't do that. Please know that I forgive you.
I'm not asking for your forgiveness.
Then I hope you can at least forgive yourself.
I gave up on that a long time ago.
Oh, awesome. Hey, I love 24.
Eye rolls.
Oh, I love it. And what they always have to have a storyline that just makes you like, oh, God, please let this end. And it's the president's daughter. She decides to put a hit out on John Voight. But she she has a last minute change of heart. And I love the button says execute. All she's got to do is send the wire transfer and he'll be executed. And I love the scene where John Voight, he's being taken into witness protection, right?
Yes.
And he smuggles a picture of his family because he's not allowed to have anything. And he's like, and all of a sudden the car blows up and he's dead or whatever. But do you think that Aaron, her security guy, planted that car bomb?
Oh, I highly doubt that.
He would have, you know, he could have called a friend that he knew.
No, Aaron's too much of a good guy.
Yeah, he's a nice
guy. I think
guy.
They brought Aaron in to kind of be an informer on the daughter of the president.
Nice. Because she should not be working at the White House. That's
no,
what
she's very unqualified.
She's a little shit, basically. But I thought it was funny, all of a sudden the president's husband is back on the show. I was like, whoa, I haven't seen that guy since like the fourth episode or something.
Hey, I know that dude.
Hey, nice to see you, man. You're not
Where
dead.
You been? I was in the kitchen eating Frankenberries.
He was in a coma like the whole time.
Watch out, your poop might turn pink.
So if you're on 24 and you read the script that you're in a coma, you're like, dude, I could take a vacation, man. I won't be back to like the next to last episode. Awesome.
Maybe they'll just shoot all your scenes in like one day.
You know what was funny is they kidnapped that guy and he's going to be their terrorist, but he had a brother. They were like, your brother, he can live if you convince him that you are a terrorist. So he's like, brother, I'm a terrorist. I hate America. He's like, what? Oh, my God. So they leave, and they leave a guard there to guard his brother. As soon as Jack and the SWAT team guys, the FBI guys, are raiding the place, the little brother jumps up, smashes a mirror, grabs a shard of the mirror, and stabs a guy in the throat. And I was like, dude, where the hell did that come from? And, you know, before they go in, Jack's like, we need this guy alive. We need to question him. So nobody shoot him. So then the hostage stabs him in the throat. What the hell was that about? That's crazy.
Creating more drama.
Awesome. So they're going to need to save his life. And maybe he'll sign over immunity or something like that.
And then he'll get witness protection and his truck will blow up.
Yeah, it's just a vicious circle on 24, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, anytime you're brought in, you always die.
Exactly. It's really sad. So let's talk about Smallville, because I've been dying to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because last week's episode was the one where Chloe, she's in love with Davis. She'll do anything for Davis, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Chloe isn't trustworthy anymore.
No. She's suffering from Stockholm syndrome. It was quite possibly the most annoying episode ever,
because I just wanted to slap her through the entire thing.
Well, I liked how this week they did the fake out. Like, Chloe, she's like, no, Davis must be killed. He's a monster. And it turns out it's a shapeshifter. It's not really Chloe. Did you like that?
It was Siler.
Did it turn the tables on you,
Damn,
Bill?
Siler.
I knew it wasn't her from the beginning because whenever she showed up and she was giving her story about how they were staying in a motel in Metropolis, I was like, wait a second. It's like, the end of the last episode, they weren't anywhere near Metropolis.
Yeah, they were out on the road.
So I was like, okay, guys, you fail. You try to make it seem like we're supposed to figure something out, like it's a big mystery. And I'm like, no, sorry.
Well, one thing that drives me nuts is Tess Mercer. She knows all this stuff now, and she's assembled a team of people to hunt Davis or whatever. The whole thing about – God, it's so stupid. I know.
Her whole thing – falls flat because she doesn't have the talent that Michael Rosenbaum did to ham it up.
Well, it's just like she has all this stuff prepared, all this stuff pre-planned, that she has this special team of super-powered meteor freaks hunting down Davis, but they're not there to kill Davis. She just wants to make sure that she somehow gets Alien Jesus, as Clark referred to himself.
Yeah, that was...
into getting into a fight with Davis. And they all have chips in their heads that will go off or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, let's just get to this scene where Clark, he needs Green Arrow to steal some black kryptonite out of Tess's vault so it could separate Davis from the creature of Doomsday, right?
Correct.
Well, she starts to come in the room, so Green Arrow's like, oh, shit, what do I do? I know, I'm going to take my clothes off and climb into this bed. Let's check this out. This scene was hot, Steven. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Huh?
A million pounds of tube steak.
No, I don't know what you're talking about there. Okay.
No, please don't stop getting undressed on my account.
You really don't know the meaning of boundaries, do you?
Well, I know you shot me down earlier, but I'm always eager to try another flyby.
How did you even get past security?
Nice talk, sugar mouth.
Sleeping on the job.
Oliver, I think it's time for you to leave.
Really? Okay.
I seem to have misplaced my pants.
I just sound like his voice cracked.
Where the
really?
Hell are your pants?
Yeah, I hid my pants. Like that time I hid your clothes in Fiji, in the cabana, remember that? That was a good time.
Now I want to hide my...
If I remember correctly, we spent the rest of the vacation on Natural.
We played hide
the
sausage. You
can streak down memory lane all by yourself. Those days are over for me.
I've really? Got some tube steak for you.
Because I'm pretty sure I felt some of the old chemistry
earlier
this afternoon.
Oh, there was tension. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't sexual.
You're playing a game of a super shark, if you know what I mean.
I beg to differ, Tess, because I've seen that look in your eyes before.
I'll put my shark in your sewer.
I'll fly you to places you never knew existed.
That too.
You know, you might want to cool your jets there, Ace.
Maybe we should start over.
It's too late for that now.
Yeah, so that was a great scene. I love Smallville for scenes like that, don't you?
Yeah.
And I love...
It's so poorly written. So hammy.
Yeah, underacted, overwritten scenes. Yeah.
Overscored, the music never stops. And then, boom!
And it's always so loud.
Did you like that huge explosion? And all of a sudden, he's on the floor, and the chick who can't act, who's the meteor freak. What did you guys pick up her code name, by the way?
No, what was it?
Plastique.
Oh, well, that's clever.
Her code name was Plastique. And I love when the guy steals Clark's powers. So Clark's like, I need to get to Smallville. And he's like, don't worry. Gata's like, I got a Lamborghini around the corner.
Yeah. It starts up remotely and the lights
like
come on.
And I was
just
control?
Like, oh, Jesus.
Was that a remote
Christ.
Control Lamborghini or something? Yeah. How did he drive there?
It's made by Tyco.
Awesome. So anyway, when the crystal was in his barn and he goes to get it, and Tess is like, I destroyed it. Wouldn't you have pimp slapped her?
I'm like, bitch, what the hell you think you're doing?
What's your friggin' problem, lady?
It's your major malfunction there.
Really? I destroyed it so you'll have to
Poor
kill him.
Pit vipers.
whore pit viper.
Yeah, she is a whore pit viper. That's a perfect description of her. Yeah. And I love when Green Arrow saves Clark with a kryptonite ring. He's like, where'd you get that ring? He's like, because I got it off of Lex before I killed him,
Clark. I got it off of eBay.
Couldn't he have said, I got it from Tessa's vault, the same place I got the black kryptonite. There you go.
I wanted it the last minute with Bid Sniper.
Whatever. Smallville rocks. See it next week. And, you know, I thought this was going to be him trying to get Chloe away from Davis, but they had to have this filler episode, right?
Well, yeah, because that's needed in the Smallville universe.
They had to show how Tess's plans
You have to accomplish absolutely nothing to move the story forward.
Well, they're going to have a bunch of bad-acted, overdrawn scenes because they're saving all that money for the one special effects show of the year, the finale.
That's right, and it's next week, and it's going to rock, guys. Right?
You know. Yes.
What?
It'll probably be a lot better than the Heroes finale.
God, I hope so.
Take it that
something
bucket
terrible
in,
will happen, and it'll be solved in one episode next season.
And it'll happen on screen, not off screen. Whatever. Let's talk about Lost. Now, last week was the Daniel Faraday episode, and I thought it was interesting, but at the same time, how his character winds up really annoyed me, guys. Because I was
it
like,
annoyed you that he died, or
that his plan was so stupid to go there with a gun and then get shot?
Well, you would. What annoyed me about that is that his mother didn't tell him, you know, hey, don't.
That's
do
one
that.
Thing we've learned at Lost is no one shares enough information with anyone, do they?
No, there's a communication breakdown somewhere
well,
along
Daniel,
the line.
Daniel did explain to Jack and Kate, but when he was in the room with everyone, when he could have explained more to Sawyer. At that point, he didn't, and that drove me nuts. It's like not enough information is provided for this to happen, and stuff like that will drive me nuts, right? But I thought it was a good episode where, you know, putting the piece together, they show Daniel was at the Orchid and all that stuff.
See, I'm a sucker for the time stuff,
right?
Because they know they're using actual theoretical and quantum physics in this stuff, and I'm a sucker for that. So I ate that episode up. I thought
no,
it was one
I loved
of the
it
best
too.
So far.
I just loved Daniel Faraday's character when he got shot. I was like, bastards.
But I think a lot of people were upset at that.
But I realized what Jack says here. He goes, I know you killed your son, but that doesn't have to happen because we can change it all. You know,
yeah, but what Jack doesn't quite understand is that with this stuff, you can't really change anything because this is your present.
Right.
And Faraday has said it before.
Right. That's what he's saying, though. But what he's saying is if they set off that bomb and blow up the Swan before it's built, and then it's never built, and that never causes the plane to crash, then they can never come to the island and even try to go back in time in the first place. So isn't that confusing as hell?
Yeah, it is.
It is very confusing.
See, what they're referring to this as the incident.
Right.
So I think...
Which
this
is
actually what happened to cause later in the future. It's like they said, you can't change the past.
Yeah, does Jack create the incident in the first
exactly.
place?
Exactly. I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
What
Jack is going to create the incident.
And Daniel, he said, I've been gone and I've been going through these calculations. What made him, prompted him to do that is what I wanted to know too. Obviously, his whole motivation, what I think, had to do with Charlotte. He has to...
Yeah.
save Charlotte somehow, and I think maybe that's kind of the thing behind there. Now, the motivation of his mother is his mother wants things to change so that she never killed her poor son, maybe. And I like that scene with Charles Widmore where he's like, well, I'm his father, and she's like, smack! You know? The fact that
it was great, and it was great this week to see the actor that looked like a young version of him.
Man, they did good casting.
It's like, wow, that's great casting.
He kind of reminds me of Nigel from Top Secret.
I thought that same thing.
The guy who was on the deserted island with Hillary. It reminded me of that. It was so funny. But now in this scene here, what I think is funny is Faraday tried to tell that Dr. Chang. He's like, we're from the future, and you need to evacuate the island. He's like, dude, you're crazy. But this week, he sees Hurley, and you could tell, like, he's been thinking about it a lot. Like, what if that guy... So he goes and he approaches him, and I like this scene. I thought it was pretty funny.
So what's the rescue plan?
Rescue plan? We're heading to the beach. Why do you think we sent you for food?
But they got Sawyer and Juliet.
And there are 30 of them, and they all have guns. The only people we can rescue is ourselves. Let's go.
We gotta do something. I mean, Sawyer would never leave us behind.
Dr. Chang, what are you doing here?
I could ask you the same question.
Well, we asked you first.
Your friend Faraday said that you were from the future. I need to know if he was telling the truth.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
What year were you born? What year?
1931.
You're 46?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
So you fought in the Korean War?
There's no such thing.
Who's the President of the United States?
All right, dude, we're from the future.
He gave it up so fast.
It's true, then? You are my son.
Yeah, it's true.
Your friend, the physicist, he also told me to evacuate everyone I could off the island. He said there was going to be a massive accident at the Swan. Now, is that true?
He's been right about everything so far. If Faraday said get people off the island, I'd do it.
Well, let's hope he knows what he's doing.
Did you guys like the scene with Red Zinsky beating the shit out of Sawyer?
Oh, God. That guy plays an asshole so well.
And he just keeps hitting him and hitting him. And then that other guy's like, no, I can get him to talk. And he smacks Juliet. Oh, man.
Yeah, I can't wait to... They're setting it up for a very satisfying kill on both of those people.
I can't wait. The finale's next week also.
Is it 2 hours?
I don't know, but I hope so.
I think it is.
You know what I keep thinking? What the hell is the final season of Lost going to be about, you know?
Yeah.
And there's all the stuff with Locke, and, you know, he approaches Richard, and he's like, hey, I need you to come to this place with me, and then you're going to take me to Jacob.
Screen's going to come up, game over.
He's bossing him around. No, I got to tell you this. You know I always say Lost is game, but I don't even understand how or whatever. It just seems like it. When he describes Richard as an advisor, that's so video gamey. He's like an NPC that's just there to help you or whatever. Because he doesn't really. Has he ever killed anybody? He's just there and kind of talking to you, right?
Maybe he's really the G-Man.
Exactly. From
Half-Life.
Half-Life. And he's kind of getting annoyed at Locke because he's not playing the game the right way.
Yeah.
See, here's what... It's not fair because Locke died. And he didn't come right out and tell Richard that. And he used a cheat code to come back to life. And I don't think you're allowed to do that in the game.
It was cheating. The Contra cheat code.
Yes.
It's 30 lives now.
30 lives, yeah. And I love the scene where he takes him to... And the scene confused me at first because he takes him and he goes, a guy's going to come out with a wounded leg. You're going to help him. And then I was like, how could that be Locke? And then I was like, oh, wait, we never knew what timeline that was that he was in when he showed up there and he was wounded after Ethan shot him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was very cool and how he disappears. And I love seeing Ben, like, all confused. Like, what's going on here? How did you know that was going to happen?
Yeah, it's so great because now Locke is being the decisive guy, and he's just completely befuddling Richard Alpert and Ben Linus. And I think whenever they said, you know, that he's going to be a problem, they're honestly worried that he's going to, like, upset the balance of power.
And I love, like, he's like, hey, why don't we all go to see Jacob? And they're like, yeah, okay, it sounds good. It's like, oh, dear. And I love that reveal there. He wants to kill Jacob.
Yeah, but it's like, it's
what
kind
is
of...
Jacob, yeah?
That confused me in that okay, who is Jacob? Like, is Jacob a separate entity from the island?
Right. What the hell is he?
Who is that kept appearing to John in Jack's dad's form? Is that the island? That couldn't have been Jacob then.
I remember reading theories for a long time on what Jacob is or whatever, that somebody who's trapped in the island, like their mind or some
Jacob
shit.
Jacob is the player.
Like Akira is underneath the arena in jars.
Exactly.
And they need to set him free.
Yeah, something like that.
But
makes my brain hurt.
Is Locke going to become Tetsuo and turn into a big blob and then into
the real question now, isn't it?
A nuclear explosion.
I have no
idea. Is the island telling Locke to kill Jacob?
That's a good question also. And also, do you think Jack's idea of setting off the bomb is a good idea?
No.
Yeah.
But I want to know how that energy is going to be absorbed by the bomb.
Right.
Like, if they're going to set off a hydrogen bomb, that's going to wipe everything out.
Yeah.
So, that pocket of energy going to absorb the energy of the hydrogen bomb? I don't understand how it's going
to
work.
I also like the scene where Sun goes up to Richard, like, hey, you, I want to show you this. And he's like, whoa, you're not supposed to talk to me or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you know these people? What happens to them? And he's like, yeah, I do remember them, and I watched them all die. So that's interesting, too. Interesting. And what
was
with...
like I told you when they thought that they were all going to die in the attack?
Do what now?
When I said that they were all going to die in the attack from the others.
Right.
Everybody.
I didn't know what you meant, though, by that.
I still don't know what he means.
Oh, you meant when Ben gasses them all, the village, that they would be there?
Oh, okay.
No, I think this is way before then, because remember, Ben's a little kid.
Yeah.
By the way, where the hell is he?
Yeah, but timeline doesn't matter anything.
Oh, you mean like if they jump through time in
the
future?
Yeah.
Well, Ben's a little kid with Jack and Kate, like, in them back then. But I don't understand what Steven's getting at.
And Ben is back as an adult with his
kid. Yeah, but he's in the future.
Yeah, but
they're not
little,
in the same timeline.
Right, yeah.
I don't understand. Okay. My brain hurts. But
that's my mind does, too, from thinking of overthinking it, so...
£1 million of tube steak.
Exactly. That's what I think
Ben's
under the
still
island.
In like 2007 or whatever.
One thing.
Well,
that,
everybody else is back in 73, I think.
When I saw that, did you guys? I don't know if you guys saw the previews to next week. Did you?
I did, but I didn't really pay much attention to them because they're like tickling your ass with a feather.
Okay, well, Sawyer.
I hate them.
Sawyer is with Juliet on the sub, and he's like, "Hey, it's always you, babe, huh? You and me.
I love you."
He's like, "We're gonna buy Microsoft," and he goes, "I know who wins the Super Bowl or whatever." I thought that was funny. And all of a sudden, hey, we caught this chick. Let's bring her down there. And then Kate's there. It's like third wheel.
Yeah. way to throw a bucket of cold water on everything.
But then the scenes to next week, they show friggin' Sawyer standing there on the island. Did you guys
see
that?
Oh, yeah, you're right. So somehow they get off the boat.
So I was like, oh, thanks, spoiler alert.
Like, maybe Kate convinces them that they need to stop Jack.
But how the hell do they even get off the sub? Torpedo hatch, right? They get launched out. That's
you know what I
want
to know? Why does Jack think he can follow a book on how to set off a plutonium core?
Right. I don't
know. He's a doctor.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Do whatever he wants.
Well, that makes sense.
Basically, when you're on the island, you inhabit roles, and he's in the role now of the scientist. He took over Daniel Faraday's role once he died. It's very.
And I want to know what makes Saeed think that Jack's right. Like, why has Saeed sided with Jack?
I think
and yet everybody
he's
else
like,
have...
dude, I killed a little kid. I'll do whatever you want. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill,
I love this show. It inspires so much discussion. I could talk about Lost for hours.
One thing that's crazy about the show, remember how people were so unsure of where they were going? It's so clear they know exactly where they're going now on the show. Everything's so well put together, like puzzle pieces. Like when they showed, remember the season premiere showed Daniel Faraday in the orchid and he bumps into Dr. Chang? They knew exactly when that would happen in the season where they'd reveal why he was there.
It's like all the writers sit down in a room and flesh out the entire season.
Yeah, they draw out a timeline.
Yeah, and then it from there they expand upon it. And that's what's so great about it, is they're all on the same page.
It's so much fun.
It's not like Heroes where they jump around and think they know what they're doing.
They have no freaking clue what they're doing. And you know what? That's the way the audience is supposed to feel. I don't know what they're doing, but the writers should know what they're doing.
Right.
On Lost, I feel like they know exactly what they're doing, and I have no clue, and I can't wait to see what happens, you know?
This is like one of the times when you can't figure out what they're doing.
Like, I have no idea what Locke is when Locke says, "The island told me." Doesn't the island talk to you, Ben? You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to feel like an ass.
Ben's just got this look on his face like, oh.
He's like,
no.
You've never seen Jacob, have you?
Yeah.
I have. He's like, son of a bitch.
Owned. Pwned.
Yeah. All right, guys. Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Awesome.
Please don't stop getting undressed on my account.
Huh?
Bill, put your clothes on.
Well, you know, I don't have underwear on.
Whoa!
Commander.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
And in the chat room, no, we're not going to talk about Ace of Cakes.
The Ace of Cakes? Oh, yeah. That was a Facebook post this week. That show really does annoy the shit out of me.
Does it annoy me.
I'll watch anything on the Food Network except that douche on the Ace of Cakes and all of his rock and roll cake makers.
And he's always got that 5 o'clock shadow with the chin bush.
Oh, and I even saw this week they're going to have Hurley from friggin' Lost. It's like,
yeah, they go to Hawaii for the rap party for Lost.
That still won't get me. Oh, their life is so awesome. I wish I was an Ace of Cake guy.
And they're all, like, they're all so, they look like the type of people that you would see in a coffee house.
Yeah.
Like, Liner reciting babies. Beat poetry. They're just, get under my skin.
We're so different like everyone else. We got tats. And piercings.
And we make awesome cakes that look like shit, but everybody thinks great.
1,000,000 pounds of tube steak.
Whoa.
And most of the time, the cakes aren't even made out of cake.
I want a cake that looks like that.
Tube steak cake.
Yeah, I want it. Make me a tube steak cake, dude. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
I think that's bad because I'm sure hungry.
That guy's ready to eat some tube steak. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, you know, the internet age has really changed the entire sibling relationship. When you were like an older brother or older sister and your brother or sister were annoying you, you would like make something up to try to get them to run away or something.
Right.
Well, with the internet age, what you do is you just list them on Craigslist for sale.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, a Craigslist posting offered a 4-year-old Kansas girl to anybody willing to take her off the seller's hands. And it's been found to be a joke, but police are not laughing. Wichita police spent much of Thursday investigating the post after 9/11 dispatchers received a call about it from someone who saw it. Authorities contacted Craigslist, which immediately yanked the ad. It turned out it was a 16-year-old girl who had placed the ad trying to sell her 4-year-old sister. Authorities say the ad was meant to be a joke and no charges are expected. No, they just said it was a joke. That was no joke. The sister wanted to sell her little sister.
What? No.
Why does anyone take it seriously? 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 Why does anyone what's listed on Craigslist seriously? Because
I don't know. Craigslist is bizarre.
Because right now, could I post that I'm selling Steven for $20 or something? Would I get in trouble?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
PCC Steven on sale for $20. Would I get in trouble for that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery? Steven, your own personal slave.
No, you would get in trouble for prostitution.
Ah, there you go.
Right. This one's out of Cairns, Australia. A man taking a pee in his front yard waved his penis at the woman living next door, then sprayed her car with urine during a neighborhood fight.
Now, what was the first part about his penis?
He was taking a piss in his front yard, and he waved at his dick at her, and then he pissed on her car.
What a jerk.
I wonder if that affects the paint.
Oh, yeah, it oxidizes like a mug.
But the Mance lawyer, father of four, Stephen Charles Smart, 42, who pleaded guilty to willful exposure, also asked the neighbor if she wanted a piece of this.
Maybe, oh.
A tube steak, I'm
assuming.
You want
a piece of his urine? No, he should have said, you want a cup of this.
See, that would have been better.
1,000,000 pounds of tube steak.
Said this is the best part of waking up.
You know, the best way to handle guys like this is like Hilo did Topher. Do the kind of like bait and switch of the taser.
Maybe you can.
Exactly. I'm going to try that on you, Steven.
More people need tasers.
Hey, Steven, Awesome.
You should totally do that one time Steven's falling asleep.
Hey, Steven, you know what you could do to wake up?
Maybe you can.
Awesome. Of course, right, I probably
the man's
show.
Lawyer, Smart's lawyer, Tom Eckersley, said to put the incident that occurred just on March 24th of last year in context. There had been how can you put pissing on somebody's car in context? There had been an ongoing feud between the neighbors for some time, during which the client's roof had been rocked and stones thrown at his dog. Oh, that's nice.
Now, back off and let me pee.
Smart, a truck driver who was recently laid off because of the economic downturn, had been having a barbecue in his front yard and had gone to urinate against his own front fence when he called out to the neighbor, thinking he was semi-shielded, he says.
I thought he was semi-shielded.
He's extremely apologetic. He realizes it was inappropriate. Right. Then why did he say you want some of this? I don't quite. Never mind.
Would you like a carafe of this?
It'll keep it warm. All right, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. A Pennsylvania man has been accused of burglarizing at least three apartments and vandalizing them with spray paint and chocolate pudding.
That's brutal.
Awful.
So it's he destroys it and makes it delicious.
And it looks like poo-poo, I bet.
After police say he was found covered in chocolate syrup.
Ew, oh. He looked like he's covered in doo-doo. That's what I'm
doo-doo. Police say the 24-year-old Bethlehem resident was arrested early Friday after being found with silver spray paint and chocolate on his hands and clothes. They say that helped tie him to a nearby burglary in which pudding and chocolate syrup were used to spread across the floor and graffiti spray painted on the walls. The man is accused of burglaries at off-campus apartments. Bethlehem Detective Sergeant Mark DeLuzio.
Awesome name.
Yeah, says the man admitted to the burglaries, but claimed another man broke into the apartments and let him in.
Got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands.
Wow. Nice drop.
All right, this whole swine flu is scaring the shit out of everybody.
Oh, God, guys. I was sick last week. I thought I had the swine flu. I was dying. I was like, first American case right here, you're looking at him. I'm
dead. I got
dead.
Sick just as they said swine flu, and I was like, oh no, I just ate pork. All right, so Afghanistan is very scared.
Oh no. Well, I heard that place is pretty
only
clean.
Known pig has been locked in a room far away from visitors
Wilbur.
To the Kabul Zoo. Where it normally grazes beside deer and goats because people are worried it could infect them with the virus, properly known as swine flu.
Aw, dude, that guy's getting a bum rap.
Allah Akbar, pig! The pig is a curiosity in Muslim Afghanistan.
It's that curly tail, isn't it?
Where pork and pig products are illegal because they are considered irreligious and has been in quarantine since Sunday after visitors expressed alarm it could spread the new flu strain.
If they only knew what bacon tastes like, they would change
everything.
I know,
it's so delicious.
That shit is awesome.
Yeah, I
pork chops.
They really need to figure things out with
pork rinds.
I'm sure Allah would approve of pork products.
If Allah would have tasted it.
Yeah, Allah would have been like, man, this is transcendent.
Some pork rinds over there and just put them in a bowl and don't tell them what they're eating.
I'm pretty sure they'd chop your hands off or something.
Yeah, or your head.
I would never tell them. I just beat him. What? This is
you
good.
You calmly walk out like the observer. You'd plant them and then walk out of the room.
Just leave.
Nice.
And then on the bottom of the bowl, it says pig flesh.
All right.
All right, moving on. Oregon police say a father was accused of using a dog shock collar on his four children.
What?
Yeah.
That's preposterous.
Salem Police Lieutenant Dave Okada said the 41-year-old man was jailed Tuesday on criminal charges of mistreatment. He said the father acknowledged putting the electronic dog collar on his four children and shocking all of them at least once. According to Okada, the father didn't do it as punishment. Rather, he thought it was funny.
Oh.
The children are all younger than 10 and in custody of their mother.
So he's an a-hole. I get it.
Yeah. I guess maybe he watched, what the hell, Jackass, and thought it was just hilarious.
Great dad.
Yeah, what an asshole. They like, reserve special places in hell for people like that. A paramedic in
the
UK...
testicles has enlarged.
...was facing disciplinary action today after he walked into a Tesco supermarket crowded with shoppers wearing just a thong.
Whoa.
The ambulance man had been on duty when he strode defiantly into the Tesco, wearing just the underwear and a pair of socks after staff refused to sell him alcohol while wearing his ambulance uniform. Police were called in and interviewed the medic about his actions, which were said to have left shop staff and customers embarrassed and stunned. The man, aged in his 40s, had walked into the large Tesco at Addlestone, Surrey, wearing his full all-in-one green-colored ambulance uniform. He selected a bottle of wine but became annoyed when the checkout assistant told him it was in the store policy not to sell alcohol to people wearing uniforms. What? I think they just made that up. I think she made that up right on the spot. Ah! Ah! The paramedic then stormed out of the shop, walked to his vehicle in the park, and took off his uniform.
Okay, so this means he's wearing a thong under his uniform, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what tipped me off, too.
That's kind of gay, isn't it, when a dude does that?
I don't, like, go into the store and... I mean, you actually have to be looking for a thong to buy thong underwear. It's not just like
a million
like,
pounds of tube steak.
Yeah, it's not like it's on the rack easily. You go to Target and like, oh, male thongs are right here on this end cap. Pretty sure if you ask about that, they'll ask you to leave the store.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me.
Male thongs? Excuse me, sir. Could you please leave the store?
I am incredibly flattered.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's...
I mean, I don't even understand thongs for women. Yeah, it doesn't show a panty line, but you have a string up your ass.
Yeah, like, it can't be comfortable, right?
No, that can't be comfortable.
It doesn't work, my old sausage, I'm sorry to say.
Wow.
And one last story, we have to mention it. Kiefer Sutherland seems to be on a downward spiral where he actually thinks... He is Jack Bauer.
He really does, doesn't he?
In 2007, he was arrested for a DUI, spent a little time in jail, and got released on probation. Well, now he goes to a fashion gala at the Met Museum in New York, gets in a fight, and headbutts a designer.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things
you think you are,
not punch, not kick, headbutt.
I love that. Anybody who headbutts, they seriously know how to kick some ass because they don't care how their head feels.
Exactly. And he was obviously pissed drunk.
They want to deliver a blow with their friggin' head.
So he turned himself in, I think it was Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was yesterday. He was led into the first precinct by authorities after arriving with his lawyer. He did not speak to the reporters or photographers. Sutherland faces a misdemeanor charge of assault in the third degree, a charge which typically warrants just a desk appearance. Now, he's lucky. If this would have happened in L.A., he would be back in jail.
Yeah. And did you hear the designer that he hit was this guy?
I think it's very soigné.
So yep, that was him.
The guy deserved it. So
now what's funny is that when this first happened, he released a thing saying he was defending Brooke Shields. And when Brooke Shields saw that, she released something saying that she had nothing to do with the situation. That
what?
She didn't need protecting of anything, and that there was no fight for him to protect her from.
He thought it was the Lipstick Jungle rap party or something he was at.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how dare you call that show bad? I'll headbutt you. So he headbutted this guy named Jack McCullough.
Jack's my name!
Yeah, Sutherland was talking to Brooke Shields when he apparently thought their personal space was being invaded. So he just smashed his forehead into the designer's face.
You know what? I'm going to side with Jack Bauer on this one.
Hey, you get in my comfort zone. I'm going to headbutt you.
Yeah. Dude, that's ridiculous.
I got personal space here.
Personal Jack Bauer space.
Are we clear?
Don't you get too close. I've got prion variant. And that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news.
No problem.
It's awesome. I really hope that Jack... you know, find some help.
You ever see that,
oh, shit. He's having a seizure, Bill.
Oh, no. Somebody get him some seizure medication.
Get him sip on the Sprite. Sprite and crackers, right?
This man's having a seizure.
Oh, wait, that's first.
Bite down on this dowel rod.
Nice.
You might want to cool your jets there, Ace.
I don't know what that means.
Have you ever seen that documentary where he was following a band around and he was drunk off his ass in some hotel lobby and he says something to the camera and then runs and jumps on a Christmas tree for no reason?
I remember you telling me about that.
I mean, he does weird shit for no apparent reason.
He's one of those nutty drunks, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
This is cool.
All right. What do you say we do some DVDs? You ready, Steven?
I'm ready.
You ready to do some DVDs, huh?
Let's do it.
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition!
DVDs! Yeah, the DVDs, everybody! You like that shiznit?
Can't get that bucket in now.
I don't know what that means. But yeah, can't get the bucket in, Bill.
Bucket of DVDs.
What do you guys say right after the show? We're all going to Popeye's! Woo! Yeah!
They're out of chicken.
I think that's bad because I'm sure hungry.
I'm sure hungry. I'm with you there, buddy.
I really wanted some of that chicken and biscuits.
How about one rib?
Now,
one rib.
I sure am hungry.
Bill, did Steven just do another Chris Rock impression? Do you remember that?
It's uncanny how much he sounds like Chris Rock. I thought you were just playing a drop.
Nope, no drop.
Oh, Steven, you're so good, man. You know, you should, like, become the new Mr. Vegas since that guy died.
Hey, Steven. All right, Bill, what DVDs are coming out this week? I'm really excited. I got
DVDs.
Bunch of cash in my pocket ready to blow it on a bunch of crap.
Okay, Tuesday, March 12th, 2009.
That's beyond white trash.
Poker. Whoa.
if you want to blow it on crap, why not pick up Brain Damage Films' Attack of the Giant Leeches?
Whoa. Sweet. What the hell is that?
Well, it's a movie about in a small town, silence is shattered by a rash of disappearances at the swamp near the old deserted factory.
Wait, silence is shattered by leeches? Do leeches make any sounds?
Yes, they do. When
by
they
the
break
old deserted
things.
Factory, they do.
Yeah. When leeches break things, silence is shattered.
Oh, I see. They knock, like, glasses over or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, like on a shelf, like knick-knacks.
Crawling on a
yeah,
shelf.
Yeah, they break all the good china and everybody's
oh,
out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting it. I got it.
Bodies yeah. are being discovered with no blood.
They're draining the whole body?
It's up to the park ranger and the town sheriff to discover what ungodly creature responsible for these deaths.
Whoa, what the hell was that in the other room? Leeches on the shelf?
Giant leeches.
Yep, you better watch out.
For some reason, they hide in cabinets.
I love these shit movies that they just release on DVD.
Back in the day, Steve and I get off work, go to Blockbuster, pick up a shitty movie like this.
Like get Carnosaur.
Some, get some rent, also a Genesis game. Get some Jack in the Box. Go back, watch a shitty movie. Stay up most of the night playing video
12
games.
Pack of beers.
That yeah. sounds like a pretty fun night, actually.
Oh, it was. That's how we watched Ticks with Alfonso Ribeiro. Remember that?
Nice.
And Clint Howard was in it.
Yes, he was.
Clint awesome. Howard's always in great, great films.
What do you want from me?
Huh?
These next DVDs, I don't quite understand the whole capitalizing on the best of kind of things. They're releasing these best of Star Trek DVDs.
Yeah, I hate those. You want the friggin' season and just watch them in order.
Yeah, and each one has four episodes. And who's choosing, like, what's the best?
Yeah, who's the guy? Is it Gene Roddenberry's corpse picking them or what?
Now, that would be awesome. They're holding a seance.
Gene Roddenberry's corpse, pick this!
Tell us which episodes to release. They're using a Ouija board.
He's saying City on the Edge of Forever is the first one.
The best of both worlds.
Trouble with Tribbles, okay?
You know what's you know what's funny? Is you just listed two of them that are on there.
Is the other one Harry Mudd? Or
no, it's... The next two are Balance of Terror.
Nice.
Where it's the first episode where they encounter the Romulans.
It's hard to balance terror. I don't know if you
and
know.
Amok Time, where they they where that battle with Spock happens.
They get a lot of mud stuck in a clock.
That dun 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 dun.
Oh yeah,
dun.
Like from the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I love that. That is some awesome music, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's about the best music from it. Just because it's cool. I think we should consult Andy on which episodes are truly the best Star Trek.
Right. I want a box set picked by Andy. Is it the one where Spock is going through Pon Farr, where he's like, he's so horny, he's insane, basically.
That he's like, he's screwed.
I gotta have some sex!
He keeps putting his Vulcan penis in that viewfinder.
I gotta get laid! That's basically what it is. Spock's just like, I got to get laid! That's awesome.
Why don't we have a holodeck?
Yeah, if only there was a holodeck, I could get laid. It's like, hey, Vulcans, it's called jerking off, okay? Oh, what? That's
calm
illogical.
Calm yourself with the pun.
Illogical to pleasure one.
It's
settled.
Not illogical, Spock. You'd feel better afterwards. That's logical, isn't it? I don't want to have that conversation with Spock, by the way.
That would be a very uncomfortable conversation.
£1 million of tube steak.
I don't know what that means either.
Yes, you do. You know it.
Yeah, I do. I kind of do.
Put your four fingers together and curl them around.
Heterosexual.
All right, next DVD, very serious. One of my favorite films of the year. It's really incredibly moving, disturbing, saddening. It's called Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son About His Father.
Oh.
It's about a guy named Andrew Bagby. He's murdered. And the prime suspect is his ex-girlfriend.
It already
she flees
hilarious.
The U.S. for Canada. And when his best friend, his childhood best friend, this filmmaker, finds out about it. He decides to make a film.
This is, oh, you're not even talking about the film yet.
No, I'm not.
Whoa.
So what happens is when he starts this, he finds out that this ex-girlfriend is pregnant with his dead friend's baby. So he decides, okay, oh, I'm going to make a video for his son who, you know, so he knows who his father was from his best friends. And it's just incredibly moving. And there's even a twist in it, which is just shocking.
What's the twist?
I can't say it because, I mean, it won't ruin anything.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that if you've never seen the movie or know that much about it, it hits you like a ton of bricks.
Again,
I
mean, Bill.
When I saw it, I was like I was punched in the gut.
Again, I'm going to say, Bill, not a comedy.
No, this is by far not a comedy, but it's an amazing film. Not the type of movie you would want to watch over and over again.
Right.
But incredibly well done.
I want to see a film like that, though, that kind of punches me in the gut at one point.
Yeah, it just...
It's like when you find out Wash is Alpha kind of moment.
Yeah, or whenever he gets killed in Serenity.
Oh, dear.
Like a leaf on the wind.
Oh, that's a spoiler, Bill. What if somebody hasn't seen it yet?
Sorry.
If somebody hasn't seen that, screw you, all right? You're the reason we're not getting a sequel. Right, Steven?
Yes, I think they'll resurrect Wash, though.
Yeah. I can't wait for Dollhouse, the movie, after it's canceled.
Josh.
It won't be called Dollhouse. No. So.
All right, next DVD. This is bullshit.
Echo.
I have to mention.
All right. Love bullshit.
They're releasing Galaxy Quest Deluxe Edition on DVD, when it's basically just a rehash of the original DVD with maybe a couple new featurettes.
Right.
And they're not doing it on Blu-ray.
I'm not sold yet. I'm still not sold.
That's it. I mean, they're basically rehashing the old DVD, and they're not releasing it on Blu-ray.
What the hell is that? I love that.
Maybe they're trying to capitalize on the whole Star Trek thing. But it is bullshit. And I've been waiting. You know, when they first made Galaxy Quest, it was pretty vulgar. It was originally going to be an R-rated film.
Yeah, you know, I always laugh. There's one part where Sigourney Weaver drops an F-bomb, and they have her not say the F-bomb, like, what the hell, but her mouth is saying the F-word.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, and I was like, this movie used to have F-bombs in it, but they made it more family-friendly, I guess.
And I would love, I think that's what happened, is they made it, and it was either getting a PG-13 or an R, and the studio said, well, let's make this PG, make it more family-friendly. And I would... The cut has to exist of the R-rated version. I would kill to see it because I love this movie. And if it was more crazy, I think it would only make it better.
Right. It's
but
a fun
again,
movie.
Yeah, it's just a straight DVD edition, no Blu-ray to report. But it is available on DVHS, which is dead, but I own and love because it's 1080i, and it is HD.
Oh, you have that?
Yeah, I have it on DVHS.
Nice.
It's the last one I bought. There's a handful of them that I have that I'm glad I have because they haven't been released in HD yet.
I want it, I tell you.
What would be nice if I knew how to rip it from the DAVHS and put it on, like, a Blu-ray disc. That would kick ass.
That would totally friggin' rock, dude.
All right, next.
Right,
well, actually, this is just a Blu-ray, which I am so buying. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on Blu-ray. This sucker is going to look awesome.
I'll take all three, buddy.
It's got the original Dolby Digital Mono, remastered DTS HD.
Oh.
High definition, audio commentary from film historians, making of a documentary about Sergio Leone, a documentary about the Civil War, reconstructing the film, deleted scenes. I just can't wait to see this in HD. I hope it looks as good as I think it's going to.
That sounds awesome.
I love this movie.
Totally worth the loss of karma points.
And I just have to throw it out there that the Koreans did a kind of a new take on it called The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. And it is a terrific movie. It's hilarious, and it's just a really nice homage to Sergio Leone and the whole spaghetti western genre in general. So if any of you are ever on like a BitTorrent, search out The Good, the Bad, the Weird, and check it out because it is really a great film.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's actually dialogue from the movie, I think.
Sweet. That sounds cool, doesn't it, Steven?
Mm-hmm. All right, this next DVD, another brain-damaged film, Hell Bride.
Whoa, scary.
And I love the cover. This is why I mention it. It's a chick in like one of those really skimpy bride's dresses, nice. Wedding gowns. And she's covered in blood with this big-ass knife going into the garter on her leg.
Holy shit.
And it's like, here comes the Hell Brides. You know what Pat Higgins film.
You know what that sounds like?
Poor pit vipers.
Exactly.
I have no idea what it's about, nor do I care. But I would actually watch it because it sounds so ridiculous.
Maybe you can...
Yeah, or
and what's funny is
that.
It actually has a commentary. Like, this is a film deserving of a director's commentary.
That does sound cool.
Well, we thought up Hell Bride.
I gotta remember that YouTube DVD guy's collection. I know he's gonna watch that movie.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
I gotta learn that guy's name so we can have him on the show. Because no one knows what I'm talking about right now. I should just stop talking.
He's great. I think he's terrific. He buys so much garbage that I would never buy.
There's this guy on YouTube.
He buys more than garbage than me.
The guy buys, I think, every DVD that comes out. And whenever he goes to like Walmart or something, and they have those bins of dollar DVDs or something, he like buys like 20 of them and watches them. And then he has an update on YouTube where he just tells you about the movie. This movie is really awful. I don't know why I watched this. It's really crappy. It has Hervé Villechaize in it. Anyway, let's go on to the next movie. And it's just like that. And I'll sit there and just watch him talking about all these different movies. It's awesome.
This next DVD fascinates me in a way that only shit movies can fascinate
me. Please know that I forgive you.
It's called High Hopes. It's from 2005. And listen to this cast. Edward Furlong.
Ding!
Lacey Chabert. Mm-hmm. Danny Trejo. How do you say his name?
Danny Trejo.
Andy Dick, Jason Mewes, David Faustino.
Oh, no, the cavalcade.
Corin Nemec.
Corin
Parker
Corky?
Lewis?
Corin Corky Nemec.
Awesome.
And it's about a group of friends and his girlfriend that plan to steal a case of government-issued marijuana because, of course, that's the best.
Oh, hell yeah.
And return it to the FBI and use the reward money to finance a movie.
It's just creating a hilarious
comedy about big plans and the lengths friends will go for good bud.
I know that, dude.
Wow. I'm shocked that stuff like this is actually made.
That sounds like the greatest movie ever made, actually.
I know. It's certainly got the cast.
Steven, what do you say? You going to buy that?
It's probably on my buy list now.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
Mentioning a couple Blu-rays real quick, not to go into depth, but License to Kill on Blu-ray.
Oh, I love that.
Man with the Golden Gun on Blu-ray. And Major League, probably one of the best baseball movies ever.
And just a bit outside.
Bob Uecker, freaking genius. I wonder if he's doing stand-up still
or something.
That
doesn't get thrown around a lot. Bob Uecker, genius.
I love Bob Uecker, especially after Mr. Belvedere. He was so great in that show. I can't wait for the other DVD sets.
How many seasons of that were there, by the way?
I think there were 3 or 4. Because I have a DVD set with the first 2 seasons.
It seems like it was on forever.
I think it went into syndication.
What? No.
So, but it was a great show. And if you have been lacking your Ian McShane dosage, why not pick up Lovejoy, the complete season 5 on DVD?
Is that a British series?
Yeah, you've never seen Lovejoy?
No.
Really? This is like the classic Ian McShane series where he's a, I think he's a private investigator.
Nice. I love Ian McShane. He's great.
I've seen it a couple times, like on, they would put it on PBS. Because they always put BBC shows on PBS.
So
but yeah, Lovejoy.
So great on Deadwood. I love that
And he's
guy.
So, he looks so young in it. It's hilarious.
This is cool.
All right. Next DVD, Marked for Death, Steven Seagal.
Oh, is that the one with the Rasta dudes?
Yeah, it is, the Jamaican drug lord.
One thought he could fly, the other thought he could live forever. They were both wrong. Is that the one?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man, great line delivery there.
Best killing of a main baddie, throwing him down an elevator shaft. Hey, come on, it don't get much better than that.
It does.
I never knew that Rastafari were so so
dangerous.
I thought they were all about like peace and love, and they actually aren't.
And they
when you
smoke
mess with
a lot
dope.
Of ganja too, right?
Yeah, maybe he's just an evil Rastafari.
You know what, now that I think about it, Predator 2 had a lot of evil Rastafari in that. Remember?
You know, you're right. You are right.
Okay.
I think those movies didn't do a whole lot for the Rastafarian cause.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Next DVD is a movie called Passengers on DVD and Blu-ray with Anne Hathaway and Patrick Wilson. I have no idea what this movie is or where
Steven,
it came
what's
from.
What's that movie about?
About people riding airplanes or passengers.
Oh, excellent.
Awesome.
And then they follow them to when they get on the buses, they're still passengers.
So they're passengers wherever they
wherever
go.
Wherever they go.
That sounds interesting. Do they
so
find
So I guess
love,
it's about
or?
A chick played by Anne Hathaway who's dealing with...
they keep running into each other in airports.
Is she out of control in this, Bill? She's
no, I think it has to do with a plane crash, actually.
Oh,
sorry,
dear.
Steven.
Yikes.
And they fall in love and...
Yeah, I'm sure that has
Blaming.
Something to do with it. Yeah, the Patrick Wilson character, surviving passenger, grown dangerously close to, may hold the key to unlocking the truth about a tragic incident. Oh no!
Like what?
I guess we'll
I
find
guess we got to see the movie, right?
Yeah.
This and that Leech movie double feature.
Yeah, it sounds like an excellent night of film.
Top it off with.
I want to hear some leeches knocking
Faustino
some glasses
movie.
Over. Yeah.
As long as those aren't the new Burger King Star Trek glasses.
Oh, you friggin' leeches! Those are collectibles! You little bastard leeches!
Those are going to be worth so much in 20 years. I'll be able to get $10 for them.
I was going to sell those to Andy on Craigslist, damn it!
You broke it!
That's my right, Simon Pegg! Scotty Glass!
Next DVD, Penn & Teller Bullshit, the complete season 6. I stopped watching this show after the first season. So
it's still on.
I don't know. I had no idea it was still on. I don't know how many things they can call bullshit on, but
I still watch it.
Apparently they're still going.
There's one about a guy who can't sleep and he's looking for a mattress. It's about the sleep industry and the different kind of mattress springs and stuff.
Wow, that's stretching it.
It was so goddamn funny. I've never laughed that much at a guy who couldn't sleep in my life. The best
I'll
part
have
is
to check that out.
The best part is for some reason all the people who are trying to sell him a mattress. So your wife? You got a significant other? And he's like, no, I live alone. And they're like, oh well, okay. It's just always awkward because people always assume he's married. Or no, I just live alone. He's like this lonely guy who can't sleep.
Yeah,
but it's really
I just
funny.
Want to sleep.
That show cracks me up. It does. The ghost hunting one. I've talked about it before. All of that.
Oh, I need to. Oh, man. I need to see that.
They keep showing the ghost hunters walking with sunglasses. I love that. If we just slow this down, they actually look kind of cool when they're in slow-mo walking. It's so cool.
Oh, man. I so need to find that because I crack up at those ghost hunting shows on Sci-Fi at night.
I still think we should become ghost hunters.
I love that.
I would totally become ghost hunters. I think that I would love to do that stuff and get the shit scared out of me for no reason.
We could roto-rooter by day, Steven.
Sweet.
Steven's always wanted a job, you know, where he needs to use
a snake.
A pipe snake.
What?
Totally worth the loss of karma points.
A pipe snake?
A million
yeah, that's
pounds
what they
call
it's like a coil thing that you put down the pipe. Put down the pipe.
That's
get on the pipe. According to
yes, drug reference or a penis reference? I'm confused. It could be both. Oh, okay.
It could. You're right. That's genius. That is true. True genius. All right, moving on. A movie I had no idea even existed until today. S. Darko. Darko.
Yes. Yep. The Donnie Darko sequel that's not by the original creator.
That went straight to video.
You're right. I've heard this too.
7 years after her brother's death, Samantha Darko, who doesn't happen to be played by any of the people in the original movie.
It was supposed to be the little sister who was in Sparkle Motion.
Ah, yes. Finds herself stranded in a small town desert after her... How can it be a small town... I think they meant small desert town. After her car breaks down where she is plagued by bizarre visions telling of the universe's end. Wow. I'm going to pass. I'm sorry.
Is Frank the Bunny in it?
Apparently he is because he's on the cover.
Damn it, Frank!
And it's got Elizabeth Berkley in it, who is a terrific actress.
Yes, she is.
She's nude in it.
Very talented.
If she is nude in it, I might check it out.
For no reason.
For no reason.
Why
for
are
no
you
reason
in
other than that.
Berkley?
She does a sex scene in a swimming pool.
As long as it's in a swimming pool and she's lashing violently.
With Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan. No apparent reason in this movie.
And Killer Bob has to be there, too. He's hiding off screen, peeking around the corner.
Switch over to a different show real quick. Oh, Twin Peaks.
All right, moving on. Taken. 2-disc extended cut.
I had a lot of fun with that movie, but I'm still sad about Liam Neeson's wife dying.
I know. So isn't that terrible?
This isn't the right time to watch Taken.
But it's an extended cut.
Ooh.
It's an unrated extended cut. So this includes both the theatrical and extended cuts of the film.
Includes but, five more kills. Yes!
I guess it's a little more violent, which I'm all for. Because I love the director, Pierre Morel. He's the guy who did District 13. What's that other one he did? Shit. I can't remember.
You know what? The direction... That movie was crisp. I'm going to say it was very well made. Yeah.
Pierre Morel is an excellent director.
I can't wait till they ruin him, bring him stateside.
They already have. I think he's directing. I forget what he's directing, but he's doing something that is questionable.
He's directing Every Which Way But Loose.
Nice.
Now, that would be awesome.
That's actually a good
remake. You know, if they're going to remake it, they need to do it with two monkeys.
Okay.
We don't want it to be an orangutan anymore. How about a chimpanzee? Our demographic shows that more people find chimpanzees hilarious.
Oh, he's doing that movie called From Paris with Love. But it's a screenplay by Luc Besson. But it's got John Travolta in it. And that's the one where he's like bald and has that... He looks kind of crazy.
Why is anyone casting him in anything?
I know. It's kind of like a kiss of death on a movie.
Travolta, his...
But it's filming in Paris, so he hasn't come to the United States yet.
That's sad, too. His son died.
Yeah, that was sad.
Wait a second. Anyone who works with this director, someone, their family, oh, my God.
Ah, Pierre Morel's a curse. You nailed it.
I can't believe how good this feels.
Hey, there's Travolta.
On the set of From Paris with Love. So I cannot wait for this Taken extended cut. I want to see it. I want
to
see it. I
want to
see it.
You can't wait to take that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that was weak.
Maybe you can...
Oh, I deserve that.
But that makes it all better.
I ask for forgiveness.
All right, and capitalizing on the Terminator releases, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines on Blu-ray.
Oh, what a way to capitalize, assholes. We don't want to see that movie.
Exactly. And the original Terminator on Blu-ray with a new lenticular edition. So I guess the front of it kind of moves back and forth or
something.
Wait
a second. The box? Does anyone look at the box?
Exactly.
Once you buy something?
I don't know what the transfer's like on this, but I might check it out. I think I already own a Terminator on Blu-ray, though. Yeah, I do.
If this is I don't own the original Terminator. I've seen it, like, more times than I should have, where, you know, it's just like the movie's memorized.
I know they're going to be releasing Terminator 2, a new remastered edition on Blu-ray, but I already have the remastered HD DVD from, I think it's from France.
Yeah, so do I. You got it for me for Christmas, I think.
Yeah, and it looks amazing.
It does. But didn't they release that endoskeleton head on Blu-ray? Was that even...
You know what's funny is they are releasing that endoskeleton version on Blu-ray, but they're only releasing the Terminator 2 Blu-ray one disc, and then they're putting all the other DVD editions in it.
What?
Yeah, they're putting like there was like the Extreme Edition, there was the a couple different DVD editions, and they're putting those in. For some reason.
That's
it's $125. So really all you're paying for
is
the head.
They just had to put out what they had because they couldn't get it done in time for the new
movie.
But
I'm debating whether or not to buy Terminator 2 on Blu-ray since I already have the director's cut on HD DVD.
Endoskeleton. It always sounded like he says endoskeleton in the movie instead of skeleton.
I think they used Red Skelton's.
Oh.
All right, moving on. Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, DVD and Blu-ray.
Rise of the Lycans!
You know, the one complaint I had about the original Underworld is there wasn't enough backstory. So what do? For the third movie, they go back and do the backstory. But it doesn't have the original actress in it. They replaced... what's her name?
Kate Beckinsale
with Rhonda Mitra, who's not hard to look at, but she's not Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, Rhonda Mitra from Doomsday.
Yes, from Doomsday. And actually, all the other original actors are still in it, like Bill Nye.
Science guy.
Yes, and Michael Sheen.
Really?
Yeah, Bill Nye.
Nighy.
I love him. He's great.
He is great.
I heard he's gay.
He may be. I don't know.
I'm going to judge his work of acting based on if he's gay.
Well, then Ian McKellen's in trouble.
Whoa. Sorry about that.
I'm looking to see if he is, in fact, gay.
We're looking for a peep show.
Like it matters.
Oh, you know what it is? He was gay in Love Actually. That's what I sometimes.
Oh, is that what it is?
I confuse
real life with
movies.
With movies.
Yeah. For the longest time, I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was a cyborg.
Terminator.
Yeah. But, I thought he was Matrix from Commando for a long time too.
Yikes! Okay, and that's DVDs and Blu-rays for this week.
Oh, well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. It sounds really awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Andy from my school in Michigan says he can't wait for Outlander. Neither can I, but I'm pissed off because they're not releasing it on Blu-ray.
What?
Yeah, it's going straight to DVD in like a week or two.
That's
but
bullshit.
No Blu-ray in on the
horizon.
That's horseshit is what it is. Horseshit. And I'm going to have to get it on pay-per-view or something to watch it in HD, aren't I?
Oh, maybe they will have it on in HD on pay-per-view.
You know what? They might have it. A lot of movies have been coming out on Netflix. Netflix streaming. And they're not great. It's definitely not Blu-ray quality by any means, but it's better than nothing, you know?
Yeah, but if they're not releasing it in HD, you know, on Blu-ray, then I don't necessarily think they'll have it in HD on Netflix.
Yeah, you're right. That sucks.
Because what's funny is I watched one of DirecTV's on-demand Blu-ray or HD releases. I was sitting around. I was bored, so I watched The House Bunny.
Yeah.
And I watched the whole thing. I even sat through the credits because I didn't want to get off my ass. So it's funny, at the very end of it, after the credits end, the Blu-ray thing comes up. So DirecTV is just, they just ripped the Blu-ray.
Hey, can they do that?
I don't know, but it was so funny because I'm sitting there and the Blu-ray logo comes up and I was like, hey, are you allowed to do that? I felt gypped. Like it wasn't, you know, from the studio or something. They just went out and bought the retail Blu-ray and used it.
Nice. All right, Bill. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs this week. And I'm glad to be back doing the show and we can get all caught up on all of our stuff, right?
Yeah, right. Me too.
Nuts. Bye-bye. Yeah. Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Tube
steak. No! Yeah, that's a lot of tube steak.
I wonder what the title for the show this week's going to be.
No, it can't be called that. All right,
million
everybody.
Pounds of tube steak.
That was episode 163 of Nowhere a Mulberry. Thank you for joining us live on Ustream. I hope our stream was not crossed.
Well, I think it was crossed for a little bit, but it's worked its way out. And it's funny because obviously it's buffering on your computer because the delay has been getting longer.
Really?
Like I've noticed, like we were talking about Outlander or something, and then there was like quite a delay in the chat room. So there's a slight delay.
But can the people listening tell there's a delay? I mean,
I don't know. Of course not. No, only we can.
All I care about is uninterrupted quality show, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what we're getting.
Oh, Steven.
That was me. I couldn't hold it.
Oh, that's not right.
I'm going to have to. Good thing I have this chair mat on the floor.
Totally worth the loss of karma points.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't know you lost karma points for pissing yourself.
Yeah, you're not hurting anybody, right?
No. Yeah, you're just hurting yourself and losing some pride points, maybe.
Please know that I forgive you.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everyone. Go to nowhereamulberry.com. Also, check out Mulberry Old School, all of our old episodes. And I need to update that, by the way. And I think there's like 5 episodes missing on there, but I'll get to it. Because, you know, all the time, guys, more people tell us they go back and listen to old episodes. So I'm listening to you people, and I'm going to make sure I update all that. And you can listen to all of our old gold, as I call it. Old gold.
It's classic.
Like those old Desi Lu archives being opened. You want to see the old Lucy stuff? It's just like that.
We're going to press them to platinum here shortly.
Only our episodes aren't in black and white. They're in Technicolor. Now, also, if you'd like to send us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Leave a voicemail like our friend Rick Lidster from Australia, who I feel like he's our good friend now after that voicemail.
Yeah, he's awesome. Kick ass. I need to friend him on eBay. Oh, it says, well, if we're on a delay, eBay. Say goodbye now in the chat room. Okay, goodbye now. Let's see how long it takes.
Right.
What are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed?
Good old Eugene. I don't know what's wrong with that guy. But also, if you want to check me out on Facebook, look me up there. I'm going to link it on nowheremulberry.com. And how about I link all of us on there? sure. instead. But you know what's weird is basically Facebook has a wall around it. You can't get in unless you join Facebook. So nobody can just look at a link, can they? They have to be part of
it. You have to friend a person to look at their info.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But if you can lock your profile down so nobody from the outside can look at it.
Nobody from the outside world?
Other than your friends.
Yeah. Okay. But what if you want other people?
I actually like that because it gives an element of privacy.
See, mine's open. If when you go in there and you look and it's just blue, you can click on that person and go look.
What's Steven doing? What's that guy up to? It's like, oh man, that's kind of creepy, man.
Dude, he just seems to play that stupid vampire thing.
Oh, and you know what? I want to put this out there since it's the end of the show. I have been, for some reason, I've become re-addicted to World of Warcraft. And I'm really bored playing by myself. So if we have any fans out there that play World of Warcraft, look me up.
Yeah.
Or send me a message so that I can join a guild or something. And
yeah, the Mulberry Guild. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I tried to play that. I just never had time. If you don't have time to play that game, your character just stays lame.
Well, yeah, and that's funny because you're exactly right. Because it takes – you got to have time to level up. And you got to go to better places. But if you have more people, you can go to more difficult places and get more XP faster.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, for some reason, I've just become addicted to it again, and I'm up all night playing it. Maybe I haven't been on my Xbox in probably a week and a half.
You could get that Leroy Jenkins to help you.
You know what's funny is, like, I don't care where you go in the game. There's always somebody with the last name Jenkins now.
Everyone's got to do the Leroy Jenkins.
Something Jenkins. It's like whenever we first started playing Star Wars Galaxies and we'd see somebody named Zero Cool. You know, it's just like they always have to pull something from something else. They can't have any originality.
No, not at all. It's just like high school. Everybody's got to have a stud in their tongue. You know, that was the
Jesus,
thing. I don't know if that's still around at all.
Yeah, that was bad.
Everyone's got a stud in their tongue or stung in their tongue. Tud? What?
I got stung in my tongue.
What do you think, Steven?
Yes.
Is Steven sleeping already?
Trash.
I'm fine.
Steven,
wide
wake
awake,
up. Hey, I know how to wake him up. Hey, Steven.
Hey, Steven, when was the last time you turned on your Xbox?
When Jason came over.
Yeah, that's so funny. I think I was playing through BioShock on the Xbox. I played it on the PC, but I never played it through on the Xbox. So I wanted to do that since I had it. And I was playing, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to look and see when Steven was last on. It said like 45 days.
Yeah, well, I just bought a new card. To get because I bought that 1 month card
right.
And I was on it for 2 weeks and then I was traveling a lot and I didn't get back on.
I
know, but it just makes me feel so bad that you travel and work so much that you can never get on it.
Did you register the card? And
no, not yet. I haven't done my full year one yet.
If you have what
you
games
can't just
you
buy the
for?
Card. Peel the thing off. You got to register.
Well, I'm going to.
I'm just giving you
when I get when I. I just haven't had time.
Steven.
Maybe you can...
My life is so busy.
That sucks, Steven.
I know.
Need to sit, Steven.
Yeah, we really need to, one of us has to win the lottery.
Steven! Go buy World of Warcraft, put it on your laptop. You can play with Bill when you're on the road in hotels.
There you go.
Can you see Steven playing World of Warcraft?
No.
No.
I can see me going, Steven, are you awake?
Steven, why isn't his... Friggin'
I'm resting my eyes.
Why isn't his tune moving around? You even type /sleep, and your character's just sleeping in the game. That's not right, Steve.
Do I get points for sleeping?
No, but you can build up a restfulness in the game, and you make XP faster.
Your gnome is refreshed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week, even if I get swine flu. What do you say? No, that's not true. I'm not going to do the show if I'm sick. Steven will do the show from his Xbox.
Steven is his name.
Exactly.
Everybody wants to hear that show.
Maybe you can...
Oh. All right, everybody. See you later.
I'm never coming back now. I'm serious. I'm done.
Oh.
Oh, man. We drove one guy away.
It's because we didn't have any chicken.
pit vipers.
Now this is podcasting.
Totally worth the loss of karma points.
Maybe you can...